Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday. It is Halloween, October 31st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 2 alarm fire caused damage to a car dealership in Montgomery County early Wednesday morning. The fire began at 1 a.m. at the Carfagno Chevrolet on the 1200 block of Ridge Pike in Plymouth Township. Authorities say the fire began in the garage in the back of the dealership. Although there was fire damage to the showroom, the flames were mostly contained to that service area. So far, one car has officially been reported damaged, but the Plymouth fire chief says multiple cars likely suffered damage. There was a vehicle in each bay at the time of the fire. With the amount of vehicles that were in the service bay, there were explosions. We believe maybe fuel tanks, tires, and whatever else that added to the large amount of fire that we had, he said.
Yeah, imagine you put your car in to be serviced and
yeah.
We have something to tell you.
Yeah.
Come back.
This is a steering wheel. You're going to want to keep that.
Right.
Utility crews were called to the scene to cut off power and gas to the building. A firefighter was injured, but it wasn't from the fire itself. So listen to this. A civilian drove their car over the fire hose, popping the fire hose up, and it hit the firefighter. God. Yeah, they said he's going to be okay.
Struck the guy in the face?
I don't know if it was in the face.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, it was in the leg, I heard.
But those things, I mean, those fire hoses, they're heavy, they're huge. Yeah. The fire was placed under control at about 4:30 in the morning. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. A Westchester University student is accused of hiding a phone to record women in the bathroom. 24-year-old Joshua Yanuzi of Honeybrook recorded more than 20 females inside various locations. The recordings were made in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland.
Again, if this is your thing, there already exists... Yep. A wealth of already shot, edited, and in some cases, musically scored video of this perversion.
It's done much better.
And by willing participants.
Yeah, but I guess it's the thrill of getting it for some people.
Jesus.
It's very bizarre.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Yanuzi is a music theater student and was scheduled to perform in the university's production of My Fair Lady in November, according to the Chester County District Attorney's Office.
That's perfect. The guy who's recording women taking a dump is part of the My Fair Lady production.
The investigation began after a young woman using a single-person bathroom at the Bull Center on Westchester University's campus discovered an iPhone pointing at the toilet and recording. The victim gave the iPhone to police. According to investigators, Yanuzi can be seen on surveillance video entering the bathroom before the victim and then checking the bathroom after she left. Police say Yanuzi specifically targeted young women he knew and would hide his iPhone to record women in various states of nudity. He engaged in this activity for his own sexual gratification, according to the district attorney's office, and allegedly made such recordings more than 50 times in the past 2 years. Police say Yanuzi accidentally recorded images of himself hiding the phones in the bathrooms. Some of those images were released to the DA's office. Investigators say in addition to the Bull Center at Westchester University, the other incidents occurred at the Footlighters Theater in Berwyn, the Genesis Theater in Reading, a street lamp production theater in Rising Sun, Maryland, a residence in Philadelphia, multiple residents in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, a residence in Westchester, and one in Reading.
You're completely vulnerable when you're going to go to the bathroom and you can't even,
think about people when I'm using, like, when I'm sitting down to use a bathroom, like, just the idea of people makes me feel really, really uncomfortable and vulnerable. And the idea that people are watching, oh, my God.
Listen,
Hold on. The idea of people?
I can't think of people. I like the idea
you
of
cannot
people,
think of other people on Earth?
No.
Yeah, we've carried on conversations in side-by-side stalls.
You talk all the time when you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, but that's different.
You love us.
That's a lot different.
You can't have the image of somebody else?
No, I can't. I can't imagine like people. Like so, a recurring nightmare of mine.
Okay.
Is I have to go to the bathroom. And the only
he
choice
had an
I had.
Issue when it came to going to the bathroom.
Jesus.
He couldn't think of other people. But then a young therapist entered his life.
Oh my
name is Kathy Romano, and I think I can help.
I don't know if I can help with this one.
He's looking.
I'll have you thinking of so many people when you make a dump, your head will spin.
I've never heard.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
So there's
what you're
a recurring.
I'm still trying to get to the. You're the therapist.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, how stupid is this? Tell me. No, I'm just kidding.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've heard. Go on.
This is our new segment. Do we really need to hit this now?
What?
Do we jot down some ideas?
Maybe we'll visit this later.
Newsy is charged with more than 100 offenses and has been banned from Westchester University's campus. Anyone with information or think that they might be a victim is asked to contact the Chester County detectives. The principal of Great Valley High School in Malvern resigned Tuesday after being charged following his admission to police and prosecutors that he stole prescription drugs from the school's nurse's office, Philly.com reported. Michael Flick, who has been the school's principal since 2012, acknowledged his involvement in the incident, has cooperated with authorities, and said he is seeking treatment, according to an email sent to parents by Great Valley School District Superintendent. 44-year-old Flick has been charged with multiple counts of possession of a controlled substance and theft. The missing pills were treating ADHD. Flick told police that he had been addicted to drugs since an automobile accident several years ago, according to the source. The investigation began after the school nurse noticed last Wednesday that 93 pills were unaccounted for. According to the criminal complaint, they had been removed from six containers belonging to five students. Charges were filed after the East Whiteland Police Department and Chester County District Attorney's Office conducted an investigation, narrowing down who had access to the nurse's office and reviewing video footage. The school district in Charlestown, East Whiteland, and Willistown townships is an affluent expanse of eastern Chester County and is known for the highly rated schools. This specific high school had about 1,500 students in it. The superintendent said Great Valley High School students will be offered guidance and support today and told that additional counselors will be on hand. The assistant principal, who has been there also since 2002, will assume the role of principal.
My mom used to teach in that school district, Kathy, and the guy that this principal followed was this guy named Steve Swimer, who was a legend as a principal of Great Valley. He'd been there for years and years and years, and I wonder if this guy was the immediate
successor to Principal
Swimer or not, but it was just this guy that everybody loved and 100% respected.
Huh. Such a shame.
Absolutely.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Nolan Patrick scored late in the third period, and the Flyers beat the Ducks 3-2 to end a three-game losing streak.
He did it.
Oscar Lindblom had possession of the puck behind the net and found a wide-open Patrick, who buried it past Ryan Miller with a minute 51 remaining for his third goal of the season. Flyers goalie Brian Elliott made 23 saves to earn the victory. The win marks the first time since February of 2008 that the Flyers beat the Ducks in regulation. Anaheim was on an 11-0-3 streak against Philadelphia. Sean Couturier and Ivan Provorov scored the Flyers' other goals, and the road trip through California continues tomorrow night, and they'll play the Kings in Los Angeles. Kawhi Leonard scored 31 points. Pascal Siakam had 15 points and a career-high 15 rebounds, and the Raptors beat the Sixers 129-112 last night in Toronto. It was the Sixers' 12th consecutive loss north of the border. Ben Simmons narrowly missed a triple-double, finishing with 11 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds, but he also committed 11 turnovers. The Sixers are back home tomorrow night with a game against the LA Clippers, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. It is 11:20 a.m. on this, this Wednesday morning.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Well, that's where we have gotten used to anyway. But I tell you what, it was easier to get up. It was pretty easy to get up this morning, yeah. I thought, man, because of the time change and the difference that we've gotten used to over the last 5 days.
Agreed. Yeah. Did you fall asleep early last night?
I did, I passed out like 7 o'clock, man, because it was a long travel day yesterday. Our hours were off a tad bit, and it was wonderful.
I just stayed up to the regular time. I figured I'd shotgun it and try to just force things back, and it seemed to work.
Yeah, I had no choice. I had to go regular time because Jace was, excited to to see me. And
you're
see
home, you're home.
Yeah.
What'd you get me?
It was nice to come back to this weather, man. It was gorgeous yesterday, and it was cold in England. You know?
Yeah.
It was beautiful, but it was pretty chilly the whole time we were there.
And it's abnormally warm. We're about 10 degrees above where we should be right about now. So that was kind of nice. So
flawless trick-or-treat weather.
We have returned, and we are set. I'm sure we'll have more stories from London to share over, the next few weeks as they kind of trickle out. But in the meantime, we've got business to take care of. We have new Word of the Week prize. Well, it's not new. I mean, we got you the letter on Monday. And I guess Pierre hopefully gave you a letter yesterday. Because it went up on the...
I do not see it, but it very well might have happened.
Marissa has a thumbs up, and she's writing it down right now. So we'll give away a chance for you to live large like Marissa, and I'll give you those details a little bit later on this morning. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day, so we'll check in with those guys, and we're getting all set for Halloween. And apparently, there's a Sprint Halloween party in the studio with winners from events today. So let's all find out what happens there. So there will be people arriving. Well, as we get to this, and we're just, you know, we've been busy the last few days. So we will figure all of this out as we go through the course of the morning. And it is a Wednesday, so we have a secret text word. A chance for you to win tickets as MMR presents Hailstorm. And in this moment, they'll be playing the BB&T Pavilion indoors on Saturday, November 17th. And tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. If you want your chance to win, just text the word secret to 39333. We're going to send back a word to you, ask you to call in a little bit later on with that word, and designated caller wins. And we will also have a random texter that we'll choose from as well. Looks like we have a movie screening of Overlord coming up.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, but November, you know what? 7th is when that is. We have something else?
Well, this one's coming up. What is today? Wednesday? Yeah. So this is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? I need to do giveaways for this. So this is not for Overlord. This is for Instant Family, and it does involve a Q&A. Casey's going to be hosting this. It's tomorrow night. And it'll be at 7 o'clock at the Landmark Ritz East in Old City. And it will be Casey and Sean Anders, who is the writer and director of the film. And you may win a trip to the L.A. premiere, which is coming up November 11th. You and your guest can enter once on site for the trip. You have to be at least 21 years of age. And you have to be present for the Q&A, which is going to be after the film. But if you win the trip, it's airfare, hotel, tickets to the film premiere, and a Paramount Pictures studio lot tour.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So let's take 10 callers, and we'll put you on that list for that movie tomorrow night in Old City, 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and give us a call. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll roll out the entertainment report, the stupid question, more giveaways, and it's Halloween, obviously. So we're going to be talking about some of that a little bit as we get set for the evening of trick-or-treating. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us this morning.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So, stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution. And the question that I have for you, and Casey came up with this for Halloween, in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, we find out that Freddy Krueger is the bastard son of who? 215-263-WMMR. I think
you
it was the
bastard.
Third one. I think it was the third one. Might have been. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, it floats through actually a couple of them.
Yeah. But there's a scene where we find out that Freddy Krueger is the bastard son of who? 215 or whom? 215-263-WMMR is the number.
So on Father's Day, who receives a gift from Freddy Krueger?
Yeah. All right. 215-263-WMMR. Let's go through the birthdays. Today on Wednesday, October 31st, and it's kind of interesting. I didn't know that this group celebrated a Halloween birthday. All these people. Larry Mullen Jr., drummer of U2, is 57 years old today. And
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
The story on Monday that they are currently working on a tribute album. They'll be contributing to it for T-Rex. And
yes.
They're going to do their version of Bang a Gong, which was the biggest T-Rex hit, which would be pretty cool.
You said solid drummer.
He's a great
drummer.
Gets
done.
Definitely.
And, you interviewed him, yeah?
Definitely has his own style. No, I never met Larry. I met Adam.
There you go.
Bass player a couple of times. So he's 57. It's also Adam Horovitz's birthday today, a.k.a. King Ad-Rock of the Beastie Boys. And Ad-Rock is 52 years old today.
Wow. I love that guy.
Do you?
Yeah, well, I grew to appreciate them more after this song had come out.
I agree.
And then even more after I saw them in concert. But I liked them when they first came out, like, you know, fight for your right to party.
I didn't.
But, like, I don't like that now.
Yeah, it took a while to go. But then seeing them, the fact that they actually play and are actually big jazz fans, they're a lot more eclectic than you would have believed from the beginning.
And this is him on vocals on this particular song, right?
I don't know who is who when they rap.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, this is Ad-Rock. So he is 52 years old today. Peter Jackson, the director of the Lord of the Rings films and The Hobbit, King Kong, The Lovely Bones, a whole lot of great stuff.
And obviously, he's recently present. We just talked about, was it Monday or Friday, about this documentary that gets all the World War I footage they could dig up. They restored it and colorized it to kind of make it in a way we are not used to processing World War I. I was showing you some of the stills.
Yeah, they managed to add some depth to it, put 3D feel in it, so it's pretty cool. So
it's called They Shall Not Grow Old.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's it, Nick.
I'm looking at a photo, and it has a color photo blended right into a black and white photo. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So he is celebrating his 57th birthday today. Piper Perabo, the actress from Coyote Ugly.
That was just on.
Kind of first surfaced.
That movie's so realistic.
Oh, jeez, it's so bad.
I've never seen it.
It's so bad, but the girls are really, really gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to hand them that. She was also in The Prestige and some other things. She's 42. Rob Schneider, who's been by here on a couple of occasions, Saturday Night Live alum, and tons of different movies, especially the Adam Sandler movies.
You know what movie, the two movies he really cracks me up, but I think he's legitimately funny, but the Grown Ups movies. His character.
Oh, yeah, because he's with the older woman,
he's with
right?
the older
yeah.
woman, and he wears that horrible toupee.
He's 55 today, yes.
Does he make an appearance at all in Billy Madison?
I don't know.
He's in every Sandler film. I don't know, Casey.
I don't think so.
All right, because I don't know if you noticed, but assistant producer Connor is dressed as Billy Madison this morning.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Very nice.
It took me a little while.
Oh, that's right.
There you go. Yeah. Nice outfit. I like that, man.
We are dressed as tired, jet-lagged people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is going to be our... we apologize.
By the way, his daughter is Elle King, the singer. She did X's and O's. And,
it's a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song. So he is 55 today. Dermot Mulroney, who was in My Best Friend's Wedding, About Schmidt, a bunch of other stuff, and most recently in that Michael Giacchino short film that he did. He's in that, right?
Yeah. He plays a string instrument, cello or violin.
You're correct.
Yeah, and so he's a classically trained musician, and I think that's how he struck up a friendship with Giacchino. And
he's done studio work with
him. He has, yeah. And then he ended up in that weird Japanese game show thing. And he's also, Kathy, he's great on Shameless. He plays a heroin addict and marries the main, or they almost get married, but he's a really interesting story arc.
Preston, wasn't he in that Jennifer Connelly movie in the store?
I want to say he was.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the two thieves.
Yeah. And that was several years ago. So he is 55 today. Actor Stephen Ray, famous British actor. He was in The Crying Game.
Yes.
He was in V for Vendetta. He plays the inspector. That's The Crying Game.
That's him. What a performance.
V for Vendetta, Interview with the Vampire, and lots of other stuff. He's 72. Brian Doyle Murray, you know, brother of Bill, but he's on his own. He's done just fine.
Well, we were just talking about the Chris Elliott show and the E.T., parody that they did in that. So the show had two seasons. In the first season, it was Chris Elliott with his parents, and then he was with Brian Doyle Murray in the second season. That guy is just hilarious.
I just always thought
he's the boss in Christmas Vacation.
I always thought it was his dad.
No.
So wait, how old is he and how old is Bill?
Well, he's 73. He's Bill's older brother, but I don't know what age Bill is. He was also in Caddyshack. He's the guy that runs the Caddyshack. Wayne's World, he's Noah, you know, the guy who has the arcades. Mm-hmm. How old is Bill today?
He's 5 years younger than Brian.
Okay. And so he's, you know, he pops up in Groundhog Day. He's the guy, he's the mayor. He is 73 years old.
He's got a great
voice. He does. Dan Rather.
Oh, my God.
Celebrates his birthday today. And Dan still keeps it going with this series called The Big Interview.
I'm a rocker at heart.
Dude, and he gets the biggies. He gets the big, you know, the guys, Roger Daltrey of the
Who. I rocked your world, didn't I, bitch?
and he's a big rock fan. So it's I've watched a few of the interviews. They're great. He's 87 years old today. Maybe he'll interview Vanilla Ice, who has
a
birthday. I love
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice has his
love
birthday.
Him. Love hip-hop.
As well with Dan Rather. He's 51 years
Lose
old today.
The zero and get with the hero.
Robert Van Winkle, of course, is his real name. So
he was a Two Live Crew fan. Super huge.
Dan Rather?
Yeah. Oh, Dan Rather was.
Wow.
I thought you were talking about Vanilla Ice.
No. Eazy-E was his favorite in the band. So.
Face down,
ass up.
So
face down, ass up, bitch.
So Vanilla is 51 today, Robert Van Winkle. It's also an American hero, Michael Collins' birthday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a member of the Apollo 11 crew.
He had, he was the one who was keeping the car running, basically.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He was in the command module, and while Neil and Buzz were down on the surface of the moon, he was making sure that they had a ride back.
They could get back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he's 88 years old.
Could you imagine? Because they went down, they were buds, you know. So they go down, obviously, to the moon. He's up there by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they left him some drawing paper and stuff.
So he never stepped foot on the moon?
No,
sir.
No. Yep.
All right. So how many people
went to Orlando?
It was three of them, right?
What's that?
Like, dude, one second. Just go jump out on the moon real quick.
Well, he was orbiting.
He
was not in the LEM. He was orbiting above the moon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're not aware of how that works?
I don't really know. No, I don't really.
No, he didn't
he didn't even get to come down.
I'm going to go out. I'm right here.
Casey stayed in the command module. The lunar module went down to the surface.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
And he was orbiting above. He had to catch them on their way back up.
Yeah, okay, well, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
Still, what a dick move.
Hey, why don't you come on down?
Shut up!
Okay. Michael Collins is 88 years old today. Then we have Jane Pauley, the newscaster from the day, former newscaster and former Today Show host.
I love her.
68.
Married to Gary Trudeau, the Doonesbury guy.
And then the last birthday, Willow Smith. I saved the youngest for last.
I whip my hair back.
Dan Rather.
Absolutely.
He'd throw out his back if he tried to whip his hair back and forth. Willow Smith
Where's my back brace?
She is a mere 18 years old today.
Do you know where she's actually proving to be pretty good? I watched a few of those Red Table Talks on Facebook.
Yeah.
Not on Facebook, but clips of them.
Yeah.
And she's on it with Jada Pinkett Smith, and she's actually has interesting things to say.
Cool, man. Nice. So happy 18th, a big birthday for her today. All right, we're going to see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. I don't see anything up on my screen here other than people on hold. Normally we have names.
I whip my hair back.
Normally have names and so forth, but we'll give it a shot here. This was from Casey in Nightmare on Elm Street 3. We find out that Freddy Krueger is the bastard son of who? 215-263-WMMR. Can I try this, Case?
Yeah.
Should I go ahead?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go to this caller. I do not know your name. If you can hear me, you're on the air. Hi, who is this?
This is Lou.
Hey, Lou. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So in Elm Street 3, we find out Freddy Krueger is the bastard son of who?
Amanda Krueger.
He's actually technically...
Yeah, he's right. I got to give it to him.
Yeah, that's
not what we were going for.
That was
for,
his mom's name?
Yeah, that was his mom's name.
We didn't even think of that variation. Yeah.
So what I was going for was the bastard son of 100 maniacs.
Come on, Lou.
But technically, the mom is Amanda Krueger. She was a nun who got left in the asylum.
Over spring break.
Yeah, it was shut down for a few days or something, and they had their way with her, and then we got Freddy. So, you know what? Nice job, Lou. Hang on. We're going to get your information, and we're going to give you...
bastard!
Pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution. Opening October 27th, the museum presents Hamilton Was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia, limited run interactive experience, tracing Hamilton's rise in the Philadelphia region. For tickets, you can visit amrevmuseum.org. Let's get into the entertainment stuff, and let's start with the royal family. We just returned from their home.
I wonder if they miss us.
While greeting fans at Auckland's Viaduct Harbor in New Zealand Tuesday, Prince Harry stopped to talk to a 6-year-old named Otia Nante, who had just lost his mother. And Harry, who, of course, lost his mother, Princess Diana, when he was a child, comforted him, saying, "Life will always be all right. You know that? I've made it to 34 years old, and life is great. I have a beautiful wife and a baby on the way.
Your royalty!"
I know, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. No, it's still, apparently the child was very touched by it.
It was very sweet for him to do that. "Your life is going to be sorted," he said. "Don't you worry about that." And he even broke royal protocol and posed for a photo with the young boy, which was nice of him to do. Meanwhile, a new royal biography about Prince Charles, titled Charles at 70, Thoughts, Hopes, and Dreams, is claiming that Harry repeatedly lost his temper before the wedding. In an excerpt published in the Daily Mail, a petulant Harry yelled at the Kensington Palace staff, "What Meghan wants, she gets," apparently. Now, I could see maybe they were trying to handle him and saying, look, she's maybe, you know what I mean? She's a commoner, she's an actress, and maybe they were trying to say...
She's a whore.
Something
she's
along
an
those
American
lines.
American slut.
And maybe maybe he was just backing up his soon-to-be wife, you know?
I think so. You know, for example, I don't know if you have it. Do you have the entertainment, the story about the guy from Queen who played Freddie Mercury? I always forget his name.
Oh, yeah. Rami.
Right.
Rami.
Rami Malek.
Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was a fan came up and asked him to do an audio recording for a friend. Yeah. Blah blah blah.
Can you say hi to my friend?
Right. So you see it in print, and it's like, oh, okay. But then you see the actual clip of what he did. It was very nice.
She's holding up a selfie, camera, and it's on video. And she goes, can you say hi to my friend? He goes, no, but I'll take a picture with you. And so they smile and they take the picture, and that's
totally fine.
But if you read it, it's like, no, I will
leave me alone.
But it was really quick. No, because I have a feeling if he starts doing videos,
he'll be there all night.
People see it. Yeah. Everybody's going to want him to do a little video. So he's like, no, but I'll take a picture with you.
So I would imagine that the truth probably falls somewhere in between here.
I agree, Steve. On the big day itself, Robert Jobson had claimed that Harry was almost shaking with tension. And I don't know who Rob Johnson is. So.
He wrote Prince Harry Smash.
He wrote this book. Okay, Robert Jobson. What'd you say? Prince Harry Smash?
Okay.
Jenna Dewan. Is that how you pronounce her last name, or is it Dewan?
Dewan?
Whatever she wants.
I'm telling you, she's gorgeous.
Dewan's so stunning.
Yeah.
She is apparently dating Tony Award-winning actor Steve Kazi. According to reports, a source tells...
Are the two getting Kazi?
I guess so. I had that report the other day at the Halloween party.
Yeah.
Source tells people that they've been dating for a couple of months, and she's really happy. The Blast was the first to report the news, likely tipped off by an Instagram photo posted by a pal. A group had hit a haunted hayride in Griffith Park. News of the man's identity, because there have been reports of her link to a mystery man, comes days after she officially filed for divorce from Channing Tatum, which we talked about the other day.
You've got to see, like, footage from her. I think it was Stomp the Yard or one of the dance movie where she met Channing Tatum. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she's a dancer, right?
Yes.
And dancers are in fantastic shape. They had announced their split in April. They share one daughter, Everly, who is 5, and they are requesting joint legal and physical custody of her. Dewan is seeking child and spousal support from Channing. And Tatum has been linked to singer Jessie J, by the way, as we reported the other day, too. Kazi had won a Tony for his work in the Broadway production Once. And he has also appeared in TV's in Nashville and on Shameless as well, Kath. So I don't know who he played. It may have been a smaller role.
But... I'm wondering if Preston, this is sort of a way, not that she would do this, but if this means that she might end up on Broadway. Because she certainly has the skill set to do that.
He also was married to Emma Roberts. Is that who Emmy Rossum? Emma Roberts? Emmy Rossum.
Emmy Rossum from Shameless?
Shameless, yes.
Okay.
Preston just mentioned Shameless. She's had several suitors, husbands, boyfriends, whatever, and he was the one, the musician.
Well, he's doing well.
Oh, he was like the good one. Everybody liked him.
Yes, and then she cheated on him with Dermot Mulroney.
Okay. With a heroin addict.
With a heroin addict.
And it's his birthday today.
Right.
It all comes full
circle.
He
plays the cello.
All right, so apparently they are, I guess, a couple. So we'll see if that's going to pan out or not, if it's going to go the distance.
We support her 100%.
And I support Channing and the Jessie J connection.
Yes, that's a good call, too.
Wonderful. All right, so Kanye West, I thought he was done on social media. Didn't
yes,
we report
yes,
that?
Is that the word? Yeah.
So good that he was finished, but he's back on Twitter. And he has decided to distance himself from politics now. He opened up about his change
for this week
of heart on Twitter. I know. We'll have to see where it goes. In a series of tweets, he said, "My eyes are now wide open and now realize that I've been used to I've been used to spread messages I don't believe in. I am distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative.
Preston, I see you struggling with this. He's a genius.
You're right.
And you're going to try to understand this.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't wrap your mind around the mind of a genius. Yeah. He then addressed Blexit merchandise.
So it's a Candace Owens and a number of black conservatives have put together this riff on Brexit.
Right. So
Brexit,
it's supposed to encourage African-Americans who support the Democratic Party to become Republican. As previously reported, the merchandise was available this past weekend at Candace Owens' Turning Point USA's Black Young Leadership Summit in Washington, D.C. And Kanye said, I introduced Candace to the person who made the logo and they didn't want their name on it, so she used mine. I never wanted any association with Blexit. I have nothing to do with it. So he says he has nothing to do with it. I don't know. He continued saying, I would like to thank my family, loved ones, and community for supporting my actual beliefs and my vision for a better world. I support those who risk their lives to serve and protect us, and I support holding people who misuse their power accountable. I believe in love and compassion for people seeking asylum and parents who are fighting to protect their children from violence and war. I support creating jobs and opportunities for people who need them the most. I support prison reform. I support common sense gun laws that make our world safer. In other news, Black-ish actress Jennifer Lewis has revealed that Kanye's camp reached out to her about helping the rapper. Jennifer, who has spoken candidly about her bipolar disorder, had told the New York Times, someone in Kanye's camp is trying to get me in a room with him. I know what mental illness looks like, and I know that if a person is not ready to get help, then they won't. She said, I hope that he gets himself well. Nobody is better or worse than anyone else. This is not something to point your finger at and laugh. So, but he is back on social media, I guess. We'll see where this goes. Staying in that camp, Kylie Jenner gave her mom an epic early birthday present on Monday, leaving her in tears with
the Kris Jenner?
Unexpected bounty. No, she gave it to Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
She gave it to mom.
So Momager.
So Kris turns 63 on November 5th.
Yeah.
So I guess she wanted to give her an early birthday present so it would be a surprise.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Lifetime past a Cheesecake Factory.
No, but she would love
that.
She
loves that.
You know that. No, her youngest kicked off the party early with her dream car, a red 488 Gran Turismo Berlinetta Ferrari that retails for about $250,000.
Which so is sweet to each other.
Spare change for her.
Oh, yeah. My God. This is the equivalent of giving that little box that says, you can never open this box because there are dreams and hopes in it, and I give it to you because I love you.
Right.
But, I mean, so they love giving these high-end cars
they
to each
do.
Other. But, yes. But honestly, that is a drop in the bucket,
yeah.
Gift-wise.
Yeah. I was expecting, I bought you an island.
Was it Maybach, right? Yeah. Maybach? How's it pronounced?
Maybach, yeah.
Or something in the $500,000 million range.
Right.
But this was her dream car. You know, Steve, she's practical.
She's practical.
Yeah, so she
doesn't want something outlandish or flashy. She wants something she can go to the store in.
Kylie documented.
I'm going to Costco in the Ferrari. Does anybody want anything?
Kylie documented the fun on Instagram, story saying, I'm on my way to my mom's house to surprise her with her birthday gift. I've had this for the last month, and I'm so excited to finally be.
I love you, Mommy. I love you, too.
I'm so excited.
Really, I didn't mean to make you cry.
She said, the shot is of Kris Jenner sitting behind the wheel bawling.
Yeah, she said, I'm so excited to finally be giving it to her. It's a little dark outside, so I hope you can see it good.
It's because the sun's away. When it comes back, it will get brighter.
Kris.
Or we could go under the lights.
Kris, who was in pajamas alongside her 37-year-old boyfriend, Corey Gamble, had gasped and said, what?
You didn't know that?
Maybe I did. I don't care that much, but good for Kris.
Yeah, I forget these things.
It's funny because mom creates the kids and then copies the kids.
Yeah. So, but she gasped, what? What is that? Are you kidding me? That's from you?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It definitely went like that.
Let me read that again. I'm reading this verbatim. What is that?
What is that?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
That's from you?
That's from you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she's wearing, these look like, well, they're stars.
I would tap that.
Her age, I find Kris Jenner to be pretty sexy.
She is very attractive. Mm-hmm, she is. And she's always, that's why, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I did see this this lengthy interview with her. Harry Levin, you know, from TMZ did it. And she's become obviously a very savvy businesswoman.
Yeah.
So she didn't just hang around these people and not. She actually was the kind of person, Preston, and you have to admire it. How did you do this?
Yeah.
What's the best way to do this?
Yeah.
And ask successful people how to. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
It's crazy.
The Kardashian Jenners have long celebrated an extra candle with a new car. Kylie herself was given a $320,000 Ferrari by Tyga on her 18th birthday.
Right. Now, you remember the word was he originally gave her a Mercedes that was being repossessed.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He had no idea, so...
He had then given her a $189,000 Mercedes on her 19th birthday.
Okay.
So his 18th was the Ferrari, 19th was the Mercedes.
Oh, my God.
So, happy birthday, Kris Jenner. Hey, this is really nice. Our buddy Bob Saget got married over the weekend. He and Kelly Rizzo got together and had their nuptials on Sunday in Santa Monica, posting a classic wedding photo of the pair a day later. And he wrote on Instagram, okay, so we went and did it, and damn, are we happy. We love Bob. He's just the nicest guy.
I think we played an interview with him yesterday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in the Best Of segment because we were traveling. And several people commented on Instagram and Twitter that, yes, in fact, Bob had just gotten married.
Bob, who is 62, and Rizzo, who is 39. She, by the way, is the host of Eat Travel Rock TV.
Not familiar.
I'm not familiar with that either. They got engaged in November. He proposed while the two were watching Stranger Things on an iPad. He said, I got up to go to the restroom. I opened the safe, and I took out a ring that I had been hiding for 4 days, and I got down on one knee. Saget previously told Entertainment Tonight that Rizzo is, quote, a great person, and most miraculously of all, she understands me and I understand her. She's very pure of heart.
When you hang out with him for any time, he is a guy who cares a lot. You know, he has a sensitive side to him.
Yeah. Among the wedding guests was singer John Mayer. Saget, who has three daughters with first wife Sherry Kramer, enjoyed his second wedding day after a professional development emerged this week. Variety reported that Bob is going to host ABC's new Videos After Dark, which is a raunchier version of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Is that right?
Isn't that great?
I love America's Home Videos. So, any idea when that's going to start airing?
You know, Steve, I don't know. I think they just announced it, so I'm not really sure, which is good for him, man. That's cool. We love Bob. Lucas Hedges, actor, who's in Lady Bird, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Manchester by the Sea.
We just had his dad in.
Who was his dad?
Peter Hedges from Ben is Back.
He plays Ben.
No kid. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot. Yes, that's correct. Well... he's earned an Oscar nomination and a lot of attention for his acting, but the 21-year-old has mixed feelings about his newfound fame, which has many trying to figure out how he should be categorized in a number of ways. He was on Ellen DeGeneres' show, and he said basically that he can't be categorized, especially when it comes to his sexuality. He said, I was fortunate enough to be raised, and then he goes on and said, I went to a progressive liberal arts school for my whole life. And he said, in sixth grade, I had a health teacher, and he presented the idea of sexuality existing on a spectrum. It's not really that you exist 100% one thing and 100% another thing. From that moment on, I always identify myself as existing within that spectrum, and I see it as something that's more fluid, not just as black and white. The conversation is timely. Hedges can next be seen in Boy Erased, which also features Nicole Kidman. The film is based on a coming-of-age memoir of the same name by Gerard Conley about a boy who he's going to play who is forced into gay conversion therapy by his family and his church. And Nicole Kidman plays his mom in that.
So does he say he dabbles in all? Or
he's not saying that. He just doesn't put it. He doesn't categorize it as anything in particular. And if he wants to change, then he can.
Suck it.
Yeah. Barbara Streisand, who starred in a previous incarnation of the blockbuster A Star is Born, gave some faint praise of it.
That doesn't sound good.
She was speaking to the New York Times, and she said, I haven't seen it completed. She said, Bradley, meaning Bradley Cooper,
Don't try to steal our bestie.
Did show me the opening. She said, I was surprised by how similar it was to my version. I love how he used the drag bar. I thought that was new and interesting, but what I've seen of the film, I really liked. So she hasn't seen the whole movie yet, so she's not really panning it. She
seems like he stole a lot from my version, and I love it.
Barbara won an Oscar in 1977 for Best Original Song.
Yeah, not for any of the performances in the movie.
No, but it was for the song.
She wrote. Was that with Paul Williams too? Right.
I don't know. Was that Evergreen?
Evergreen. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it must have been. Let's see here. William Daniels. He is the guy who played Mr. Feeny in Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy.
He reportedly stopped a burglar from entering his home over the weekend. He's 91 years old. He and his wife, Bonnie Bartlett, were sitting at a door at their home in the San Fernando Valley Saturday when someone tried to kick in the back door.
Did you hear how he stopped it?
Yeah, he turned the lights on and off.
There was more, which they didn't report. He hopped up into a vent in the ceiling. And then he dropped down. There were four guys in their arms. And he dropped down on the one guy, and he put the one guy's arm in a brace and then had him fire, pulled the trigger. And headshots on the other three, and then twisted it back and shot him in the head.
Wow.
I didn't know that one.
Pretty good move.
It's amazing. That 91,
and
God bless.
Any training
no
at
training,
all.
No training, but he's seen it in movies.
No, he turned the lights on and off, and the intruder left.
Oh, that, yeah. That's probably the accurate story.
His rep told people someone tried to break into the home.
I'll show you how to kill each other.
Mr. and Mrs. William Daniels on Saturday evening. Luckily, Mr. Daniels was able to frighten away the person, and the LAPD quickly responded, and they are both well. Mr. Daniels thanks all of his fans for their concern.
How long was Knight Rider on?
Knight Rider?
Yeah, because he was the voice of Kit.
Yeah.
That
is... I don't know, maybe five seasons?
Yeah.
It wasn't very, very long.
Yeah, four seasons, four or five case. It says one through four, but it has 5 years written on here.
Yeah, because it was huge... At the perfect time of my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
I was right in that wheelhouse age of like, this is, you know, it was made for people like
made
me.
Made for your, yes.
Exactly. And then it went away. I mean, then they had to do stupid things like create Garth and
his evil twin.
Yeah, his evil
And then they
twin.
Brought it back briefly about 8 years ago.
That's right, yeah. Hey, when was it ever determined how Kit would get on to the truck without what's the engineering on a car going 60 miles an hour and then hitting a ramp and then not going 60 miles an hour when it hits the ramp and rocketing through the truck to go out on the other side?
Yeah, you're going to damage that vehicle.
Well, I get that it's a TV show, but like how could they explain
that?
Well,
the truck's going 62, right?
Doesn't matter. Your wheels are going 60 miles an hour when they hit the ramp. So how come you're then not going 120 miles an hour in Kit?
So you're inside the truck. Would he back out or would he go forward out?
Well, the truck would be moving,
right.
And then he would pull into the back of the truck, and that's where their little headquarters were.
Right.
And I don't...
You could do it. You would just have to go at a higher speed than the truck.
Well, no, here's what he's saying. Once the wheels hit the ramp, which is not moving at all, your wheels are going 60 miles an hour.
Right.
So they have to stop immediately.
But if it's rear-wheel drive, when the rear wheels get to the ramp, it'll launch him up the ramp, right?
Yeah.
But you got to get up the ramp.
Yeah. Once you hit the ramp,
and you're still going
that
fast,
why doesn't it keep just take off? Because your wheels.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No. Yeah. Oh, I think as far as the show is concerned, they don't really. They're like, don't worry about that, you know. But
it was a talking car.
Yeah, real physics.
It was.
Go ahead.
The truck is moving, but the ramp is once these wheels are spinning, they come off a road. It's like stepping off an escalator,
right?
Or a people mover. You know how you have to slow down real quick.
Yeah, but it's not like the road.
Okay, we're showing it here. Let's take a look here. On the Knight Rider. All right.
I can't believe this is
Mythbusters. Okay. And the reason being, Casey, the road isn't moving, but your car is moving that fast. And by the time you hit, you should technically be going, you should go 60 miles an hour and a dead stop and add to the 60 miles an hour that the truck is going. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, now we're watching.
So the wheels.
Speed it up. We want to see how it works.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to have to come back to this later, guys. It's 5 minutes after.
This and the Casey pooping thing we got to cover later.
And we're moving on.
Can you poop going up a ramp at 60 miles an hour?
It was enough for Mythbusters to discuss it. So there is legitimately issues
there. Just did it.
So Oprah Winfrey, Reese Witherspoon, Sarah Jessica Parker, Michelle Norris, and former White House aide Valerie Jarrett are going to be joining Michelle Obama when she goes on tour for her memoir, Becoming. Live Nation and Crown Publishing announced the star-studded cast of supporters yesterday. Her book comes out on November 13th, and she'll make 12 stops in all. I haven't looked to see if she's going to be stopping in our city or not.
She will be. Guess, okay. Guess when? Yeah. During Camp Out for Hunger.
No kidding.
Yeah, so all those people will
be. So you're saying Oprah and Reese and Sarah and Michelle Obama are going to be stopping by the Camp Out for Hunger?
Yeah, Thursday of Camp Out. The Flyers have a game on Tuesday night. The Sixers have a game on Wednesday night, and the Michelle Obama tour is Thursday night.
Wow. That'd be pretty awesome.
Man, I tell you what. I mean, if not one of them comes over, I'm not saying what's going to happen because it's all going to be nice and benevolent and good. But I'll just say this, entertainment giants, we will not be happy.
Well, I think we really at this point need to call on our political friends, you know, our Chris Coonses of the world. Happen. Yeah.
Did you guys not hear that Live Nation is the one that's promoting that?
Yeah, they're not going to do it, but Chris Coons would.
I don't know. I have faith in them. I really love the guys over at Live Nation.
I think they're good.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think those
politics
guys...
is not their music and obviously the entertainment. Yeah. They may not have as much. We'll see, though. But for the camp out, if they could help spur. A massive charity influx. I'm sure they'd be down with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or else they would earn our wrath. And we are heavy hitters in the world of local radio.
In the world of local radio.
You don't know. You do not know who you're missing with.
Hey, we had a British fan come by.
We did.
One guy.
I bet you Oprah has
a British fan. All right, one last story. The Game of Thrones prequel series is getting closer to happening with Naomi Watts in the starring role. The prequel, still officially in pilot stage, hails from Jane Goldman, who was behind X-Men First Class and writer George R.R. Martin. What can fans expect? And this is a quote from the series. It says, only one thing is for sure. From the horrifying secrets of Westeros' history to the true origin of the White Walkers, the mystery of the East to the Starks of legend, it's not the story we think we know.
Did you see the description of Naomi Watts as a socialite?
No.
Yeah, that's... And I'm like, Game of Thrones?
I mean, there's a society there, so...
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Right. I hope they don't, they don't go too... high-profile celebrity to cast this, because what I do like
LeBron?
Like Jimmy Smits, for instance. That guy does not belong in the Star Wars franchise.
Stop it with Jimmy Smits.
Well, you're saying it's distracting.
It's very distracting.
And you will look at the celebrity as opposed to the dialogue and the story.
You know that Samuel shirt he was wearing? The shirt you're wearing, the NJS in London? No, Jimmy Smits.
Yes. Yeah. But like Samuel L. Jackson as a Jedi... It totally threw me off.
A lot of times it does not hurt to not be that aware of the people who are the same way. A good portion of the people in Game of Thrones we were vaguely aware of,
correct?
And then they became those roles. It helps sell it.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah. All right, and we'll do the clips now. Ooh. Let's get to that. The drive to improve yourself can come from anywhere, even in tragedy. And here, actor Romany Malco talks about what motivates the friends in A Million Little Things to improve themselves throughout the show. Here we go.
All of the characters, to some degree or the other, have become quite content with living what we would call stagnant lives. And they're not completely fulfilled in their existences, but the loss of this very successful, dynamic, incredibly inclusive guy. When he goes away, it kind of inspires us all to like rethink the existences that we currently have and figure out what we can do to move forward.
Anyway!
Nick had to pull up this guy's picture for me to recall who he was. He was in the 40-Year-Old Virgin. He's the African-American friend, the guy that works at the store.
He's great.
He's hilarious. I love him.
But he's very dramatic in this new series. Yeah,
yeah. There's a new episode of A Million Little Things tonight at 10 o'clock on ABC. Let's go to the next clip. Stand Against Evil manages to constantly provide adrenaline-pumping scares and side-splitting laughs in the same show. And here, show star John C. McGinley talks about how a show like this came to be. Here we go.
Stand Against Evil is a comedy hiding inside of a horror film. And so the pedigree is that the writer is one of the legendary writer on The Simpsons. So he had comedy in his back pocket, but it turns out he's also a horror geek. And this is something he's been incubating for 20 years or so. That's the show you want to be on.
Where are y'all going? What?
John C. McGinley, one of the greatest actors to play a douchebag ever.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. He always plays a jerk so well in all the stuff he's been in, Point Break and... He was in Scrubs, obviously.
This is a good show. Have you seen it?
I have not.
So it's very Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Okay.
And I'm sure a lot of the inspiration comes from that.
Yeah.
But it's got a similar vibe and a lot of fun.
That's cool. New season of Stand Against Evil premieres tonight, 10 o'clock. That is on IFC. And there it is. Your entertainment report back in the stacks.
Yeah, from England.
Woof. And we come back on a pretty low-key day. Halloween!
Hey! you know how I was terrified.
I'm just glad we're back because Steve would have crashed the plane. Yeah,
absolutely.
It was running late.
And Rodney is coming back, and he's under the gun, too. He's got
Well, he's more he's so than a, us. He's yes, coming back today.
He's got to do some trick-or-treating.
He already texted us from getting on the plane. Apparently, somebody really stinky was sitting next to him, and he had to be moved.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, okay, he's not kidding.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Well, I had the complainer. He didn't smell, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, listen. You're flying for several hours. Chances are somebody around you is going to be a pain in the ass.
I had all good people. It was fun and a nice conversation, and it was good.
So Rodney's on his way. We have Halloween, and we also have this screening tonight of Instant Family. And I need to give away these. No, it's not tonight. It's tomorrow night. Sorry. Did I say tomorrow night?
You said tonight first, and now it's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Casey's hosting it as well as the writer and director, Sean Anders. And we have a chance for you to win a trip along with that. If you attend and you're at least 21 years of age, you can enter to win this trip. But you have to be present for the Q&A. It's going to be the Landmark Ritz East in Old City at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You need to be there by 6:30. Want to go? You might win this trip to L.A. for the premiere, which is airfare, hotel, tickets to the premiere, obviously, and Paramount Pictures Studio Lot Tour. So why not? We'll take 10 callers. Put you on our list, man. We got a lot of room there. 215-263-WMMR. It is Halloween morning, soon to be All Howl's Eve. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And we're going to go live on Fox Good Day as well. We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us this morning, please. Hey, by the way, it's a Sprint in studio Halloween party that is taking place this morning. So we have some listeners coming by. Winners visited MMR Jocks at Sprint store locations around the area. They get registered and won tickets to the Bates Motel, the country's
so
best
cool.
haunted hayride, and a sit-in on this morning's show. So we have some food provided this morning from Dunkin' Donuts. And this Halloween, you can get your day running on Dunkin'. Stop by today and grab two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for $5. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, and it's a limited-time offer.
I saw you partaking. What did you have?
I did. I had an everything bagel with ham and egg and cheese, and it was quite tasty.
The everything bagel has leapt to the forefront of my favorite bagel.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's definitely my favorite. Last night, I went out and did a little last-minute makeup purchasing for my daughter for Halloween today. So we went by the local Walmart and grabbed some stuff. And, man, the candy shells were like...
Bare?
Almost bare, completely.
I told my wife.
Bottom up, man.
Before I left, because we had a really good year one in the house. We had a really good turnout, and I had half the decorations I have right now. So it's been lit up for a while. We've been indicating to the neighborhood we are down with Halloween. Mm-hmm. So I said, you need to make sure, because last year I had to go, I booked over to the Acme, and Claire is saying, it's okay. I think we'll be fine. I'm in line at the Acme, and I get a text, hurry back, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
God. They're here.
Oh, wow.
Is she like a procrastinator on that stuff?
I never am, but she's, we could just get out when you will get about two. No. What'll happen is you'll see some delightful kid dressed as a minion, and they'll steal your heart, and you'll give a handful.
Sure.
That's what we do.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I told my wife was getting candy last night, and I said, don't you dare. I will get it today. You get the worst candy.
Last year, she didn't get great stuff.
Do you know what we're going to do, though?
Yeah,
when I buy this excess, and that my wife doesn't know about right now, on the way home, I'm going to keep it in the trunk of the car.
Yeah.
So that I have to go to the trunk to get it. It's not coming in the house.
All right.
Because you know what happens if it gets in the house.
Well, she got slightly offended by me saying that. I said, Diane, I have video proof of the children trick-or-treating at my house that don't like the candy that you picked out.
All right.
They said, oh, God, Twizzlers.
I know we all want to jump. What do you mean, Twizzlers?
I didn't say Twizzlers. The kids said Twizzlers.
Remember last year Twizzlers he had video, the kids. They'd like left the candy out, and the kids were going, and somebody complained about the Twizzlers.
I know everybody wants to jump in on this, but before you do,
we have topics.
About the unwanted candy,
yes.
This is brilliant.
Oh.
Marketing, and unfortunately, it's only happening in one place. So,
listen to this.
Reese's is putting the unwanted candy to good use. They have revealed the Reese's Halloween candy converter machine that allows people to trade in the candy they don't want for Reese's peanut butter cups instead.
So, like any candy, not just
any candy. It's a vending machine. Is it not?
It's in New York City, right outside Washington Square Park. It'll only be open from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. today.
That's awesome.
So you could, now the company says the candy converter machine will exchange up to 10,000 cups for 5 hours. Is that not brilliant?
Oh, my God. I love what it says, too. It says at the bottom, press, it says, sorry, not sorry.
I mean, they have to have the greatest candy, in my opinion.
There was a survey. It was commissioned by Reese's, though.
Of course.
90% of Americans said they wish they could trade their unwanted Halloween candy. And 4 out of 5 people said that they would like to swap it for a Reese's peanut butter cup. That's brilliant.
That's all I have to give out.
Really?
This year, yeah.
You can't go wrong with that.
You cannot go wrong.
It is a fine candy.
Well, I'm surprised, Kathy, that that's the only one you have because it's your favorite or one of your favorites. So, like,
I know.
That it makes it all the way to Halloween.
But, no, listen, I did not. I hid them, although I know where I put them, but they were not out. They weren't in the cabinet. You know what I mean? They were in the basement. Yeah. That was it. The bags did not get opened. Until last night.
See?
And so, no, we should be okay.
So we're going dark this year. We were, and this is our first year in the house, and I feel bad. I don't know how many kids in our neighborhood are going to go trick-or-treating, but I'm taking my son to a different neighborhood.
Okay.
And so I'm not going to be there. I don't think my girlfriend's going to be home, so it's going to be one of those things where, like...
Can I suggest something? May I suggest something?
Sure.
Are you friends with your neighbors?
Yeah, friendly.
If you were to leave some candy... And leave a sign or something.
I guess. I mean,
you have the neighbors dispense for you.
At their house?
Like, yeah, if they're going, words, like, here's 2 pieces of candy, next one from
there's
Nick.
Only, like, a dozen houses in the neighborhood, so I don't know how many kids are going to be there.
But don't leave a sign that indicates you're out. Say, repacking ammo in the basement.
Okay.
please go next door.
Gotcha.
By the way, and I got to back up just a moment about having the candy in the house. We went to the premiere last week of the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. And time, I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, God damn. Because I stop at Wawa. I don't buy the candy at the. There's usually a line when you're at the theater.
You buy your candy right at Wawa?
It's more expensive.
Oh, right.
No, going to the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's
going to
be expensive.
So we're getting ready. We're getting ready. I'm like, we're not going to have time to stop at Wawa. And Carter goes, Halloween candy. I was like,
oh, you're so smart.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
He's a genius.
So we went in and right in the hell.
Calm down,
candy.
Old man. Calm down.
I know. Yeah. I was so happy.
Did you have big candy bars?
We had big candy bars.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. We're not doing that. By the way, Nick, you should. I know what street you live on. It's not a big street. I would anticipate you might get 5 trick-or-treaters.
Right.
Okay, so this is what you do. Just leave a bucket out, says, please take one. Don't put any candy in it, because when the first person gets there, they're going to think that the person before them took all the candy.
I like that.
That way you don't even have to get candy.
That actually works, and I think even you still get the cred.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please take one.
Yeah.
I feel bad, because I feel like I'm being the bad, boring neighbor that doesn't celebrate Halloween the first year that we're in their neighborhood, because I don't want to be that, but...
Try the neighbor thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I locking and loading at home and dispensing and there's nothing better than having the kids come up and hand out this.
No, it's great, but when you have your own child and you're taking them out, that's pretty damn awesome.
I would be inclined to give that child, if I had a child, there's got to be strangers in town that would walk in.
Well, speaking of that, so my entire neighborhood, there's a zillion kids, so everyone does the leave the bucket out, take one piece.
Yeah.
Some people say take 2-3 pieces. And it works. But I guess because there's so many little kids, we don't have too many teenagers that are going to like dump the whole bucket into their pillowcase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our neighborhood's huge. To walk around it is like 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
So if there's a few houses along the way that don't have them, you're still going to end up with a booty big time.
Yeah. My son is 12 now. And I had the thought this morning of, I wonder how many more of these I'm going to have, you know, like that I'm going to have with my son.
I'm there, man.
And it's heartbreaking. I love going out with him. It's so much fun. And he's going out with his buddy that we went out with last year, his kid named Ethan. Well, they've been planning their costumes together for a long time. By the way, he had to drop off. He's like a spooky goblin jester this year.
That's cool.
It is. It's a neat costume. But he had to drop off his like wand/staff because it's got a skull at the end of it. There's a Halloween parade today at school, but they do not allow weapons, and this could be construed as a weapon. And I was like, all right. So he dropped it off at the house yesterday.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a town in North Carolina. They're called the City of High Point. And they posted on their Facebook page, apparently they have issued a playful ban on some bad Halloween candy. So they wrote, all right, everybody, we're giving you a 1 week notice as you prepare for trick-or-treaters to remind you all that by the order of the High Point Emperor of Acceptable Candy, which is apparently a real thing in this town.
Oh, that's wild.
These are banned. No one likes them. Don't give them out. And it was a picture of what I guess the official name are Peanut Butter Kisses. And I think it's the generic orange and black wrapped, you know, peanut butter candies, chewy candies.
Nothing generic.
They're horrible.
That's them. They're horrible. So they had playfully put that out. And some people, you know, got pissed off about it and they wrote back and said, clearly, this is a joke. We're just having fun with this.
Right, right, right.
But that's one of the least popular candies that you'll find on Halloween.
And it's always a big issue, I think, because it's sort of a neighborhood Rorschach test. It shows, you know, your psychological profile, what you're ready to give away.
Yeah.
We try to have a variety, but we stay in the chocolate realm. We're not doing sweet tarts. We're not doing Twizzlers. We don't do stuff like that.
I like the chocolate realm.
I give my wife a bad rap for getting terrible candy. She just gets candy that she likes, though. So, like,
she's not a chocolate person. She loves
Twizzlers. And I can't remember what she had gotten in previous years.
Like sweet tarts and stuff like that?
No, but, like, for instance, every, whether it be Christmas or birthday or whatever, I always make sure I get her a big bag of Twizzlers because I know she loves them so much. So I know how much she loves Twizzlers. It's not really, you know, it's not a Halloween candy. Like, little bites of Twizzlers.
Well, then, what do you put into the mix? What do you purchase?
Well, here's the deal. This is the standard, and this should be the standard for everybody. Twix, Kit Kat, Snickers.
Boom.
Right?
You got it. You got a troika. That's formidable. I agree. I could rock an entire holiday. In fact, a good portion of what we have is that.
Yeah.
And then you can even go, like there's the bags of the Midnight Milky Ways, which are the dark chocolate.
I gotta
disagree with the
Hang on,
though, because the reason I back that up is because like my kids prefer like the sour candies and stuff like that. They love that.
Starburst? I think can fall in there. There are things because you need there are different food groups.
Yeah,
so you
agreed.
Need. Yeah,
agreed.
Well balanced, sugar intensive meal.
To me, Halloween's more of a chocolate candy thing than anything else. But there are going to be people that will do the Starburst and those like sour, sweet, non chocolatey candies. I would throw Reese's peanut butter cups into that mix. Kips.
I'd be interested in purchasing some of your Reese's peanut butter cups for my kid. Every little one is going to go out trick or treating.
But there are so many peanut allergies out there.
What's it?
Yeah, there's so many peanut allergies out there that you have to be careful with that. So, peanut allergies. What's the other one? Gluten.
Yeah.
I don't know what has a gluten in it.
Well, what do you have to be careful about? Those kids know what they're not going to take peanut butter cup.
But I was thinking about putting out like three different baskets. Like, hey, you know,
that's a good idea.
Peanut allergies, gluten allergies.
Well, if you go up to the house and the parents thought that much about it, I'd be leery.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, listen. The legitimately, Kathy, I don't know. One of those peanut butter cups opens up. It gets mixed with the other candy. Listen, it's deadly for some people.
Yes.
I mean, not just bad that it can kill people. You have to keep that in mind.
But also, we're not going to stop giving away Reese's.
No, I know.
Cups, you know what I mean? Like, I like the idea of maybe having a separate bowl or whatever.
Yeah, do that.
You have at least a half a bag left in your house that you have to get rid of.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
You mentioned the chocolate realm, Preston, and I would like to cast out a member of the chocolate realm because I don't believe it belongs.
Okay.
Tootsie Rolls. They are not chocolate.
They're not real chocolate.
They are not. And people who say that they are wrong, and I feel bad for them.
They're chocolatey.
They are. Here's, Nick, I'll draw you the perfect analogy.
They're good, though.
So,
no, they're not.
Okay.
Tootsie Rolls are like Yoo-Hoo in the realm of chocolate milk.
Yeah. Ooh, good comparison.
Right? So, like, if you have, like, Hershey's chocolate milk, that's or Rosenberg's chocolate milk, milk.
Okay.
But Yoo-Hoo is a chocolate-like milk.
It's a chocolate drink.
A chocolate drink.
Right.
And that's so Tootsie Rolls are a chocolate-like candy.
What does Tootsie Rolls classify themselves as?
Birth control.
No, look up.
It's a little dial.
They will describe the, you know, it'll be a description so Nick can look it up and
chocolate
see.
Chocolate flavored taffy like candy.
There you go.
Chocolate flavored.
That's not what they call it themselves. That's a Wikipedia article. But it's, that makes sense. Chocolate flavored taffy, a softer taffy.
It's my favorite chocolate like facsimile.
If I'm going to go for something chocolate flavored, I'm going to go chocolate. This, like, I'm just gonna.
I understand.
Why would I get something chocolate flavored?
I don't know.
Chocolate,
but however, Tootsie Rolls.
As a kid, I loved those.
Tootsie Rolls would trump many other things that Tootsie Rolls can beat other candies in certain battles, especially if it's a lean battle.
Okay.
If I'm not finding a lot to float my boat.
All right. I do like the.
There are no dark chocolate Tootsie Rolls, though, right?
I don't think so.
Mm. I don't know.
No,
but I like the fruit flavored Tootsie Rolls. I think they're good.
Yeah, me too.
Well, they're like Starburst.
Which are taffy.
Taffy.
Right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. But, I mean, how about, you know, Tootsie Pops in the middle?
Love it.
I loved them.
As a kid.
Yeah.
But once you start raising a family, you move on to more mature candy.
No, you're right about that, actually. You do want more mature candy. I mean, so. But that stuff's not handed out. They don't hand out truffles and,
right.
And fleur de lis shaped.
Oh, make sure everyone gets the foie gras.
Right, right.
I forget what it's called, but inevitably we'll come home with at least one. The barrel drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are root beer shaped or root beer tasting ones?
Can you imagine what that crap is actually made of?
Yeah, the actual drink.
It's like a little.
Yeah.
You peel the tinfoil off the top.
Yeah, they're either.
Oh,
purple or red.
Are you kidding?
What are they? Hugs. I think they're called hugs.
Hugs, okay.
Yo, wax lips. My kids don't know the glory of wax lips.
I know. We used to get at least one pair of wax lips every Halloween.
And those were horrible.
But fun.
Oh, they tasted horrible.
Awful.
No.
I would eat like three of them and have a gigantic.
Yes.
Do you want to know the tip off, Preston? Wax.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's not going to taste good.
Oh, I know.
If you just ever casually sit there and start chewing on a candle, then you.
I like
but as a kid,
I'm not.
It's a novelty.
That's fun. I'd say them. They didn't taste good. You'd like the taste.
You ever go into a movie and get a bag full of wax lips to eat it?
No. Let's see. But you don't eat it. You just chew on it. Yeah.
It's fun.
It was fun.
Can I get.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Can I get 2 pounds of paraffin, please?
Oh, and the corners of loose leaf paper to chew on as well, please.
Yeah. Let me see here. Hang on. This is an interesting question. Craig has a question for us. Hi, Craig. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Craig?
So as a parent, you prepare yourself for certain conversations with your kids and whatever they might be.
Sure.
And it seemed my son wasn't really getting into his costume this year, didn't really have anything picked out. So we sat down last night, and he broke to me. He's not sure if he wants to go out for Halloween.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But it's funny, Craig, that you should bring this up because on American Housewife, that comedy series on ABC, the youngest daughter had the same crisis. And so what they decided, you know, well, why don't you be here and give out the candy?
That's what I was going to suggest.
You put them in charge of that. Mm-hmm. And by the sixth or seventh kid that came up, wanted to go, you know, trick or treating. So maybe that
10 years old.
Yeah. Did you ask why, though? Did you ask him why?
I was a little stunned, I'll be honest. Yeah. I didn't ask why.
You couldn't ask why.
You can't force them.
Because
if you have an open dialogue with your child about it, that might open things up a little bit. But, Craig, I highly recommend the handing out candy at home. And they get to participate. Maybe they don't want to go walk around the neighborhood. Maybe they might be a little bit scared.
I just said that.
They might be a little scared of some of the things
but
in the neighborhood.
Her.
But ask them about it.
Yeah. Ask her if she's a scared.
But I recommend doing the handing out candy at home because that can be fun as well.
I remember there was a good luck with that, Craig.
Yep.
There was a transition period where I had become too old to go out and trick or treat, and I've never left that for decades.
Yeah.
The thrill of handing out the candy on Christmas. It's an odd thing. I do it not every, on Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. I just get worried when I hear a 10-year-old doesn't want to. What makes me wonder is like, okay, because you know my kids are in and around that age, and it's all about like who are we going to go out with.
But you know what? It can also stop and think about it. If for some kids, it can be a little nerve-wracking.
Don't
want to
make sure that the kid's not being left out. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yes, so, but if you're participating on another level, if you're handing out the candy,
yeah.
And you're also going to get to see all those kids.
That's another thing, too, Case. If you don't have someone to go out with, or you know, there's some kids that may not have very many friends, and that's a little sad.
Yeah.
It is sad. I've seen it happen.
We used to go out. I don't ever. I mean, I was had to be extraordinarily young. Was the only time I remember my mother coming with me.
Yeah.
To go trick-or-treating. My dad's hours were always long. So, but then once we got up to 9, 10, we were out by ourselves
yeah.
in our neighborhood. It was very, even keel suburban neighborhood.
Went
so
out
it was
in
not a,
a
big issue.
A neutral neighborhood last year. I was in the middle of a move, and my son lives in an area where there's not a lot of houses as well. So he went out with a buddy and found a place in Ardmore where some of the kids from his school were. But it was just a whole bunch of houses and a whole bunch of neighbors that we didn't know at all. And it was fan-freaking-tastic. It was a great place to go.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to jump in here. Preston, did you see the Zillow the piece on five of the top trick-or-treating neighborhoods, I think, in the country are in this area?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I was going to bring this up, and I wonder if it's one of them, because it's 100% going to be on my fall activities list next year. It wasn't added this year.
Fall activities.
Thank you.
I'm interested in some fall activities.
But are you guys aware of the trick-or-treating in Lambertville, New Jersey?
Lambertville?
No. Yeah, it's...
Why did you say
I don't know. Yeah. All right, so because there was an old cartoon where this... I think it was a sheep went missing, and his name was Lambert. And the mom went, Lambert! Lambert!
You know, everybody
Yeah, everybody
that,
knows
right?
that.
Yeah.
So I went into Lambert... mode.
Thank you. Go ahead, Kathy. You're talking about.
It's a good place to go.
It's it's great. I spiced up your conversation.
Well, they do have.
What
by
you were
the way,
about to say sucked.
Zillow has Philadelphia is in the top 20
yeah?
cities for trick or treating, and then they break it down into sub. Categories.
Is Chesterbrook on that list, Steve?
Let me check the. Let me check the. So, Philly.
Oh,
Chesterbrook is a plant.
Being a...
Yeah, it's a plant community that was built in the late 70s, early 80s. It's near where I grew up. It's a tradition Easttown school district. And
Here we go.
It's a great place to go.
Point Breeze.
Lovely.
Where's that?
I have no idea. Oxford Circle.
Juniata Park.
These are all within the city limits.
Queen Village and Southwest Schuylkill are the sections that they say in Philadelphia proper.
Okay.
Are the neighborhood rankings for top areas to trick or treat, and that is based on the amount of children in the area and also the closeness of the homes for maximum yield.
Yeah. So Nick, what I think a good point about the Chesterbrook is yes, it's a planned community. It's basically row homes and apartments, but it's not lower income.
Oh, it's just all, it's tons of families.
It's tons of families.
A lot of kids.
Yeah,
families.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we have the neighborhood where, not necessarily where I am, but just down the street where people will drive, Nick, to come and trick or treat. Like if they live in an area that maybe is on like a main road or whatever, they'll come to our neighborhood.
I want to go to, because this is always a question. We have obviously a lot to get to on this subject, but I'm going to go to Kat. Hi, Kat. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Kat?
I was going to talk about how I'm, 17, and, most of my friends are 18, and, as we grow up, the parents that, we trick-or-treat to start telling us that, we shouldn't be doing this, and this is for younger kids.
Well, I can tell you this, and I think I speak for all of us.
This is our
jump
rule.
In.
Yeah.
If you get up, done up in a costume, and a real costume, not just you're gonna carry your school books or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and go and sell it, I would gladly dispense
yep.
Halloween candy to you. I would do it for an adult who showed up dressed who put some time into a costume. So does that answer your question, Kat?
Well, I've had people that I've had friends that go out trick or treating, and then a lot of the parents will just be like, "You're 16, this isn't for you anymore."
Well, tell them to shut up.
Put everything into this.
Listen, you're just having fun. Now you have to do the deal. You have to say trick or treat, and you have to do that. That's a rule for me.
Trick or treat, wear a costume.
Hang on a second. You might face a couple people that might give you a little bit of attitude, but much more so much less so if you're wearing a full on costume and not just, as Casey has said, a football helmet. Or
Kat, there was a gentleman who was told certain things in life and did not listen. His name was Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
Take that with you. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, Kat, you can go out as long as you dress up. We say it's okay.
All right.
All right.
Go have fun.
That goes for all upper end teenagers. You need to. Got to put effort into
if
it.
If you show up in your regular clothes with a pillowcase, that ain't gonna fly.
Yeah.
Well, also
somebody sent over a guide to how kids judge Halloween candy. Did you see this?
Uh-uh.
It's pretty funny. It's like some of the candies we were talking about. So the Tootsie Roll, the little chalkies, the Sweet Tarts or whatever they are.
Yes, yes.
And like the Hubba Bubba bubble gum, they called them Cheapy McCheap Face. Some of the older candies, the black and orange candies, they're old timers. And then if you give the Snickers, M&M's, Reese's, they're called the Legends.
You know what I might do? I just thought of this. I might put a sign out in front tonight that says a football jersey is not a costume. And just point to it.
Yeah. Read the sign.
Read the sign.
What if they show up, though?
No candy.
And they're wearing a football costume and they've done, like, zombie makeup or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right. But what I mean by that is just wearing your football jersey that you were going to wear to the game this weekend anyway.
Maybe you should throw it out there and make it a sports jersey because somebody might go, no, it's a soccer jersey, kid.
I know. It'll be nitpicky. A sports jersey is not a costume. There you go.
I love it.
It's not bad.
I bet you could go to a sign store and have that professionally made.
I could.
Right now.
I think, actually, if you really felt committed, you'd have it painted on the side of your house.
You'd do that, too. Hang on a second. We mentioned Lambertville. I'm going to go to Becca. Hi, Becca. Hi. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Becca?
I'm calling. I actually live in Lambertville, and I want to tell Kathy that I highly recommend it. They actually close off all the main streets, and they have bands that play music. All the kids run around. Houses have their own, like, haunted house that you can, like, walk in and out of.
That's cool.
What's the one lady that does her house? Excuse me. I think she's a former art teacher, and she,
yes,
like.
Yes, she is.
So is that house only opened on Halloween, or does she open prior to?
The whole month, every single night, she adds one more creepy figure outside. So leading up to Halloween, she has hundreds.
I do it for the children.
No, she's not that old. But that's the house. I mean, that's what drew me to Lambertville and to find out that apparently it's like this huge party on Halloween
Kathy
in Lambertville.
Romano. I know.
Yes. That's the main attraction. And a lot of the houses have porches. So I actually sit outside with all my friends and we hand out kids candy to the kids, but it's nonstop.
So it's a block party then, Becca, correct? It's like a block party.
It's a huge block party.
All right, that is awesome.
And Becca, it starts earlier than normal, correct?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking a half day. I'm 30 years old when I can't.
Yeah, like they start in the afternoon.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Thanks, Becca.
Yeah. We're looking at some of the stuff. It's pretty impressive.
Because a lot of people apparently will travel there, do trick-or-treating in the day, and then go back to their own neighborhoods where they, you know, to go out and see their neighbors and friends.
By the way, so I won't be, this is the first year that I won't be doing a tandem costume with my daughter, which we've been doing forever. I know it's a bit sad, but I'm also kind of glad that I'm not going out walking around in the neighborhood tonight because either my son will go along with her or she's going with some friends, is that because we just got off this trip from London, I won't be peer pressured into drinking by my other neighbors tonight.
Okay.
Because it would level you, wouldn't it?
Because I've been doing 5 days straight of boozing and I need a break. But that's what happens. Hey, have a beer. No, it's okay. Come on. Halloween.
Jason,
I'm not going to get any of that tonight.
Hey, okay, you. It's just a football jersey. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Jace asked me last night, well, what are you being for Halloween? And I was like,
You got, I'm sure you can find something.
Of course. Something.
Or you can come by my house. We got all those costumes.
No. Remember, I have the costume that I bought for Shamoween that we ended up not using. It's a skeleton costume. I can throw it on.
I have a Rocketeer costume if you want to borrow.
I have your old cheerleading costume if you want to borrow that.
You still have that?
Of course.
I'm going to work someday like that.
Wear that tonight. I dare you.
God, no.
Okay. I need to see if this is legit or not. I have Tori, who is a dietitian. Hi, Tori. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, Tori?
So I had heard you guys talking briefly about food allergies earlier. Uh-huh. There's something called the Teal Pumpkin Project.
Okay.
And what you do is you put a teal pumpkin, you can paint it, or actually there's a pretty good section at Target that sells them already teal.
Oh.
And that lets families and kids know that you have either allergy-free, like, treats to hand out or other things. Like, I'll hand out candy, but I'll also hand out, like, pencils. I guess they could eat those, too, if they
want. Doesn't that make their gums bleed?
But just to let kids with, like, peanut allergy, celiac disease know that, hey, I can still collect something, and then their parents won't eat all their candy because they can't.
Well, that's a good idea. Okay, so it's called the Teal Pumpkin Project. Okay, very cool. Thanks for the heads up.
Interesting. What color is teal, by the way?
It's sort of like an aqua-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you classify it as a blue or a green?
It's a bluish green.
It's a bluish green, right?
But I'm not exactly what color teal is. I'm part of the Teal Pumpkin Project. I want to make sure.
Is it a bluish green or
a
greenish
green? It's Manthy. M-A-N-T-H-Y.
Glad you didn't spell with the I-E.
Oh, man.
I want more of these Reese's Peanut Butter Cup machines.
I agree. This is the first year they've rolled this out. Yeah. I think that it might be too expensive to maybe.
It's a great marketing idea.
It's a candy buyback, basically. Yeah. So, but what you can do is incite other candy companies or other candy types to do in kind, and that would be a wild thing.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to stretch out, and we are going to go to our friends at Fox Good Day in just a little bit instead of taking a commercial
break. I'm interested to find out if we're going to stretch out to the Fox. We are? Thank you.
She has questions about everything.
Is it Alex today?
So I don't know. Okay. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know who's on the air. I don't know.
Did you see Alex's Halloween costume?
Yeah. What is it?
It was
John Legend.
John Legend, and she did like the beard and
like the five grow
hair. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
no,
she looked good. She looked awesome.
Really?
Yes.
And is she wearing it today?
No, it was over the weekend.
Over the weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, here it is, Preston. And she put it up on her Instagram account.
Oh, it's great.
Isn't it awesome?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow.
John Legend, by the way. That's
John Legend. That's a great name. All right, so we're going to be checking in with them in just a moment or two. And I also want to mention the fact that we're having a little Halloween get together here on the program.
It's like the Munsters house in here.
No, we've been gone. We got back yesterday.
These decorations are crazy. We have light fixtures and monitors, plastic chairs and a carpet
on air signs.
Oh my God.
Spooky.
But the internet. From Sprint, what we did is MMR DJs were at Sprint store locations around the area, and they people got registered and won tickets to the Bates Motel, the country's best haunted hayride, and a sit-in this morning on the show. By the way, the food has been provided by Dunkin' Donuts, and this Halloween day running on Dunkin'. Stop by today. Grab two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for $5. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. They have really cool donuts they did. Did you see them out in the
No, I haven't been out yet.
So they have ones that look like spiders. So they took a regular glazed donut, and they put a chocolate munchkin in the middle of it and then drew legs out from the munchkin.
I love that.
Here, it's Steve. Marissa's bringing them in right now. Aren't those cool?
That's awesome.
Is there a munchkin one on there?
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. See, they can do, by the way, if you're doing parties or anything and you want special order donuts, they can do stuff like that.
Yep.
I've seen those in the stores, the spider ones.
By the way, do you ever have like that, like people hand out like food you eat along the way while you're trick or treating?
Have you had that? I guess for parents.
Yeah.
Does your friend from Giuseppe, large slices of pizza?
He should.
Lorenzo slices. That'd be awesome.
I would drive there for that.
Man.
Yeah, I like to hand out plates of spaghetti. It's just so easy to eat on the
table. You just have a ladle? You got a bag,
right? You guys
want
a mug of gravy? Yeah.
There's a house in my neighborhood that does a whole setup in the front yard, so parents can come by, grab a drink, they can grab some food.
We have a lot of cul-de-sacs in our neighborhood, so there's a lot of usually a fire pit in each one that's pulled out, and people sit out. And they'll, I mean, you really won't need it tonight. It's going to be very comfortable out tonight.
Normally, like my neighbors from Manayunk, they, you know, when we moved, we had to lose a bit of that, so we do it on our own. Yeah. But yes, it's a wonderful thing, and it's turkey tacos tonight.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to actually hire a bartender. You know, have a little bar set up.
Sure.
For the house, making mixed drinks. For the parents as they go by, that's an idea for next year. I may have to work on that. All right, we're going live on Fox Good Day. Let's do this thing. Here we go.
It was a graveyard smile.
Preston and Steve, I have a question for you as our party begins here at Fourth and Marquette. Which candy, as an adult, don't you want in the little basket? As a kid, is it different?
We just had this discussion, as it turns out.
Okay.
And both Preston and I think most everyone here on the show agrees that we go into the chocolate realm. The chocolate is where you need to be for Halloween, but there is some substandard candy that we would eject immediately.
Well, he was asking adult versus child.
It's the same
so
for
I,
me.
Well, I'd see, I kind of disagree. Yeah. So we had this lengthy discussion because Casey had an uproar with his wife because she had Twizzlers in there. And he feels that everything should be in the chocolate realm. And while I personally, as an adult, love the chocolate flavored candy. As a kid, I not only liked the chocolate, but I liked the sweet tarts and I liked the gummy stuff and all that. So I think there's a difference between, you know, depending on age.
I don't think Twizzlers should be in a basket.
You know, you don't like Twizzlers in the basket. No, but the ones I can't stand, the old ones, like old people candy, Mary Jane bars, the sweet tarts, but not the really good kind, the kinds that actually taste like
chalkboard chalk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's circus peanuts, stuff like that. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, candy corn.
I mean, yeah, overly sweet, like dried insulin.
Wait, candy corn? You don't like candy corn either? Oh.
No, no, candy corn. No, no. Oh.
You like that, Alex?
Why don't people like candy corn? No. Yes, I like candy corn.
I like candy corn. I'm with you, Alex.
Show me where they grow that. Yeah. Where do they grow candy corn?
Now, Alex, would you bite each color off individually? You know, you bite the white, then the yellow.
The process.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god.
The center and then the yellow butt.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The yellow butt. That was actually one of the great Indians. Yellow butt.
My 7-year-old pulled out a little bag he got from a party of candy corn. He said, "Can I have these?" I said, "Sure." He opened it up. He took one. He goes, "What are these? They're disgusting."
Are they though? You know what?
It's the sugar.
What about chunky? Chunky is. Some kids don't like
chunky.
Yes, and with the raisins inside. That's your favorite, right, Kathy?
Yeah. Favorite. Love them.
The level of candy dispensing has gotten very good these days, I have to say, though. I think people realize where you need to put your candy dollar.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a picture of candy corn stacked in a circle? That's the reason we call it candy corn?
I have. It actually looks like a corn on the cob. Yes.
Looks like corn on the cob.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I could see how that would work.
I have not seen this wonderful optical illusion.
You know,
it still doesn't change the flavor, though, I guess.
Another one I hate is Almond Joy. I've never liked an almond.
I'm with you.
Now, Mike, I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Oh, really?
The Almond Joy, because that gives that's all the different food groups in one there. You have your... I love Mounds bars as well, but the Almond Joy, as with peanut M&Ms, where do you stand on that?
I love peanut M&Ms, but I don't like regular M&Ms, only peanut.
I'm the opposite. I like the regular and don't like the nut.
Mm.
We're missing the best one. It's underrated, Mr. Goodbar.
Mr. Goodbar is okay.
I'm
okay.
Like,
I'm taking a Hershey with almonds.
I'm a Kit Kat, Twix,
big Kit Kat for me, too.
There you go.
Snickers all the way for me. Those are my absolute favorite.
Snickers are good.
Number one.
And you know what? Whatever candy coating they use on a leaf, that's really good, too.
A leaf?
Wow.
Ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Ibuprofen. With the right candy coating.
You know, X-Lax doesn't taste too bad if you're really
It's hungry. Actually very good, especially if you dry it up into a little corn. It looks great.
Yeah. Hey, we can't get out of this segment without commenting on your costume over the weekend, Alex.
It was amazing.
It was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
John Legend. Well done,
John.
And yet, I have that posted on my Instagram. But today, you know, we're having our reveal and we're doing more costumes. So we're not done yet.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're looking forward
but
to
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So does it mean you like me better as a man? Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
I'd take you as a man.
I think a lot of
you then you become a tiny Swiss Army knife of pleasure.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Take care. All right. We do need to take a break, though. We went a little bit long on that, so we'll come back in a moment. We have the bizarre file coming up, and I'm sure we're not done talking about Halloween-related subjects. Secret text word. By the way, we have a chance for you to win some tickets to see Hailstorm. They're coming to town, and I'll get you the details on that, but they're going to be the BB&T Pavilion indoors.
Yes.
And you can text the word secret to 39333. That is going to be on Saturday, November 17th. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com, and in this moment, we'll be joining them as well. So good luck to you. We'll take a break and be right back.
Philadelphia, congrats to our MMR listeners who grabbed a share of the $150,000 given away over the past few weeks. MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2 has ended, making a lot of people very happy. $1,000 at a time.
Woo! Yeah!
Thank you.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah!
Make sure you have the newly updated MMR app on your phone. An easy way to enter cash contests like this one. Stream Pierre's Workforce Blocks on your way to the mountains. Or download MMR and Preston and Steve podcasts. MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. Sponsored by Sprouts Farmers Market. Now open at Broad in Washington. And from all of us here at 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, so we are really, really late with this, but it's time to do the Bizarre File, so here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability, and that's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. Well, a 12-year-old boy urinated on an electrical outlet Friday morning at Sunnyside Intermediate School in an attempt to start a fire, police reported.
Hey, why not?
The boy managed to start a fire or enough smoke to set off the fire alarm.
This
is according to fire investigator Todd Trent.
His boy.
To the relief of many, the boy's plan failed.
His boy.
Someone hurried into the first floor boy's restroom with a fire extinguisher and put out the small fire, which was contained to the electrical outlet. As for the boy, he was arrested, accused of criminal recklessness. And he was taken to the juvenile probation intake offices. The boy's actions raise many questions. Number one among them is whether he might have shocked himself.
That was my concern.
While showering the outlet with his urine. But the fire investigator Todd Trent said that would not be possible if the boy was standing upright.
Say, young man, where did you get that black penis?
But neither is it likely that the urine hitting from that angle would have soaked into the outlet to create enough heat to cause a fire, Trent had said, adding that the case remains under investigation. According to MythBusters, in a show they did in 2011, the urine stream actually becomes pulses when it falls to the ground. This means that any electrical source that the urine comes in contact with will not complete the electrical circuit since the stream is broken. However, when one urinates on an electrical circuit at a close distance, there is a risk of an electrical shock.
Because it's a constant stream.
Correct.
His boy.
So by the time it gets, if you're too far away, the you can't see it perceptively with your eyes,
right,
but
right.
It breaks up into pieces, into drops. And so
pieces of piss. Sounds like a great folk band.
You wouldn't be able to be shocked from that. A Melbourne, Australia man who shot dead his only son after an argument over a burnt omelet has been sentenced to 19 years in jail. There's a little more to it than that.
Had there been strife in this relationship prior to the omelet?
Yeah, the omelet was the final straw.
Okay, it didn't sound like the first point.
For Peter John Smith, 70 years old, who had spent substantial amounts of money trying to help his son.
You've been a great son up to this omelet.
The son is Andrew. He was trying to help him get clean from a 5-year on-and-off addiction to meth and synthetic cannabis. At the time of the shooting last year, 30-year-old Andrew Smith had been clean for a few weeks, was working full-time and living with his parents. Andrew Smith, a father himself, this is the guy who was killed, the victim, a father himself of two young children, had been drinking with his parents at home on the evening when an argument started over dinner. He had been cooking an omelet, but after burning it, he just threw it in the backyard. So Peter Smith became very angry, saying that it could harm the family dog. And Andrew replied, F the dog and F you. You'll be dead in a year, referring to the cancer treatment that his father had recently undergone. So the argument continued, and Andrew Smith went inside to his room and shut the door. After eating dinner, Peter Smith walked to his car outside, got out his double-barreled shotgun, loaded it with ammunition, and apparently he said, I'm going to kill the C-word, and then I'm going to kill myself. He said this to his wife as he walked back inside, but he must have said it very calmly, because she goes, yeah, right, of course you are. She thought he was joking. Peter then walked into his son's room, shot him twice in the body while he was lying on the bed. He died instantly. He later told police that he had just had enough. He said, it just happened. I couldn't take it anymore. It's over now. I don't have to worry. Now, the court heard the relationship between the father and son have been up and down over the years. Though they frequently argued, they were seldom violent. In sentencing, Justice Andrew Tinney said, despite the father and son's issues, there was still love and affection between the pair. But he also said, this was shocking, senseless, and inexcusable crime. So he is going to jail. He's been sentenced to 19 years in prison.
Will he make it? You know, considering his cancer, right?
Yeah, he might not.
Yeah.
A dead moose in Wyoming probably won't attract grizzly bears now that its carcass has been blown to smithereens. Bridger Teton National Forest officials used 100 pounds of explosives last Friday to get rid of the rotting moose near a trail popular with hikers and hunters.
Hasn't history taught us that this is not the way to get rid of a carcass?
Well, they think that it is. Forest officials normally do nothing about dead animals, but worry that the carcass could draw potentially dangerous animals to this popular trail.
Guess what? There's a dead moose.
They say using explosives was more practical and less gruesome than cutting up and hauling out about a half ton of rotting meat. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports the blast obliterated the carcass so it can't be scavenged by bears, wolves, and mountain lions.
Oh, my.
Yeah. A biologist determined the moose suffered from worms and it died from natural causes. But the headline Gave me a new band name because the headline says Moose Bomb.
Oh. Moose Bomb. We are Moose Bomb.
I love it.
I love this band.
All right, and then one last story. Let's go with this. Police in Snellville, Georgia, said a father was driving down Scenic Highway with his three-month-old daughter in his lap. He was pulled over. Officers said what they found in his car was much more troubling. DeTavis Madison allegedly put his infant down on the floor of his car during the traffic stop and told officer that there wasn't anyone else in the vehicle. However, when police looked through his car, they found her. They lifted her up. The officer said they found underneath the baby a stolen handgun.
Oh, my God. He put the kid down on a handgun.
The baby on top of the stolen handgun to hide the gun. When they continued their search, they allegedly found marijuana and at least 500 ecstasy pills in the shape of Lego characters. And the police lieutenant said, this is obviously a dangerous situation for that baby on many fronts. We are just glad that it turned out for the best.
Son, this is not how we do things in Snailville.
Madison faces 10 charges, including felony theft, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony, felony drug charges, and transporting a child in a passenger vehicle.
Well, it's a horrifying story. At least the kid is away from him now.
Exactly. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Casey's reaching for me to give something away to you. Is it for the screening tomorrow night?
No, well,
whatever one you want to do.
I want to do the screening tomorrow night.
Okay, so tomorrow night there is a screening of this film, Instant Family. It comes with a chance to win a trip to Los Angeles for the premiere. And the writer and director, Sean Anders, is going to be on site with Casey Boy. Casey is going to be hosting this tomorrow night at the Landmark Ritz in Old City. So the Q&A with Casey and Sean happens after the movie. If you are in attendance after for the Q&A, you and your guests can register for this trip. It's
awesome.
A pretty sweet deal. You have to be at least 21 years of age to be eligible to win. And that's airfare, two nights hotel, tickets to the premiere, and a Paramount Pictures studio lot tour as well. So let's see, man. And I slacked off because we were in London and I should have been giving these away. But we'll do 10 callers.
Yes.
We'll take them. 215-263.
Not a fan of the number, but I understand the need to do it.
WMMR will put you on that list. Let's take a break. Come back in just a moment. Halloween morning with the Preston and Steve show. More to come.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, guys. So, you know, there's loads of different conversations you can have about Halloween. We did an extensive one on candy just a little while ago.
And I'm scared.
Trick-or-treating and all that stuff. But to go to the trick-or-treating thing real quick, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. Steve sent me over this. There's a national petition someone's filed to move Halloween.
Yeah.
And to do it on the last Saturday of October.
The same way we do Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of
The only problem with that is Halloween is a date specific event.
It is.
It's like Christmas. While I think the idea is pretty cool,
yeah.
I mean, we've talked about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Being on a Saturday.
And they're not budging.
It's not a date specific event.
Yeah.
It could be on a Saturday. October 31st is Halloween, so I think that's the difference. And I understand it'd be great if it was on a Saturday night.
There's an observation, but it's not like it's a federal holiday or get off.
And mm-hmm.
So you could have the actual, okay, so this is Halloween today, but the actual celebration, the actual trick-or-treating, and all the festivities would take place on the adjacent Saturday. Also, Preston, you know, so much of this is governed by bars and parties and businesses that derive business from it. So this weekend just passed was the big, even in England as we were going around, loads of Halloween parties constantly all over the place.
The date of Halloween does not really, I don't think it affects the bar situation, the bar life at all.
It would buttress, well, now you'd have it on a Saturday. So now
it might be a little less.
It might be a little less to that point. So if you have it on, it's always on a Saturday. That's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have Friday and Saturday, whereas now do you anticipate on a Wednesday night
there are not parties?
Costume contests and stuff at bars?
I think they happened already.
On the weekend, yeah?
I won't vote for that. I would never sign a petition for that. I will say, though, as a Catholic school kid growing up, I never had school the next day. All Saints Day is November 1st, so we always head off the following day, which was great for us because you could do whatever you wanted and, you know, eat all the candy and stay up and watch scary movies, do whatever you needed to
do. Mr. Foster, you will not stay up past
your bedtime, you will have tomorrow off. And you shall not dispense Twizzlers. My effect popped out.
Speaking of scary movies. I did see this article, and believe it or not, it's from Cosmos, from Cosmopolitan magazine.
That's all we read.
The most popular horror movie the year you were born.
Ooh, okay.
And this was kind of a bitch slap to you emotionally, wasn't it, Preston?
It starts 2 years after I was born.
Oh, man. Well,
come on.
Come on, people.
So,
you know you're
not
old.
Dead yet.
Right, exactly.
When your year's
oh,
not
don't
included.
Even talk to me about it. My, I predate film. What were the most popular scary cave drawings when I was born? Don't give me that.
What were the most
scary cave drawings? Mastodon attack Og.
It starts 2 years before I was born. I was born in 1968. So I guess that's Cosmo saying that, once you're over 48,
you're over.
You don't count. So
get it.
But I can go through the younger members of the show.
All right.
Let's do it.
Cast. But I'll start with the very first one on the list, 1970. The film Count Dracula was the most popular horror movie of that particular year.
Count Dracula.
And it was
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. Exactly, Steve.
So Christopher Lee had starred in years and years and years ago. He was one. It was a landmark Dracula film. It was the Horror of Dracula for Hammer Films, a British company, and there was another company called I believe Atticus, and so it was considered incredibly bloody, incredibly gory, but okay. it reset the franchise, and there were a whole series of Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee horror movies.
So go ahead, Casey.
No, you go ahead.
Who's the next oldest? I was going to start.
Well,
with your
sorry. Yacht. So can we go back in time real quick? Because I do have some scary movies that came out in 1968.
I have a whole list of scary movies that came out in 1968.
Okay, then never mind.
I have the entire list of all scary movies. I just don't know which one was the most popular of that particular year.
All right. Well,
so there were a lot, and if you get all the scary movies, there are going to be tons that you've never heard of because they're throughout the years, there are crappy scary movies and there are great scary movies.
But there are two that right off, like that I'm looking at right now.
Short Circuit.
Not Short Circuit. That was the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was not a horror movie.
I know, but otherwise it's perfect okay. for this list.
But the first two I'm looking at are pretty solid horror movies.
What are they?
They are Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
1968.
Yeah. Yep. And then Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, those are the two I was looking at, Casey. Either those two or maybe Trilogy of Terror. Those are they look like the three biggies.
Trilogy of Terror was a made-for-TV movie.
Okay.
Oh, yes. It was. Okay.
And that wouldn't count. Probably Rosemary's Baby. That was a big deal when that movie came out.
It was huge. The book had been huge, so there was a lot of talk up to the creation of this movie, so it had a built-in fan base already in anticipation of the movie. And then you have the movie that set the tone for zombie movies for decades to come right up to the current time, Night of the Living Dead, done right here in Pennsylvania. George Romero, who is an advertising, worked in the advertising industry, had his camera and a threadbare crew on a very tiny budget, shot that movie, and it changed everything.
So 1975, the year Casey and Nick were born, and this is, I don't know if I'd put it in horror or not.
Oh, well, then let me.
Go ahead.
I have a guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jaws?
Yeah, Jaws.
Okay, yeah.
It was considered the most popular horror movie in 1975. There are some movies that are labeled horror movies, like Silence of the Lambs. I don't consider a horror movie, but a lot of people do. But Jaws, I guess, is in that same realm.
I think Silence of the Lambs is closer to horror because you have, but I think...
A thriller.
A thriller. There's a strong case for that. Yeah, and Jaws would be likewise. You people consider the shark a monster or whatever. It's certainly scary, and there's certainly a lot of it. But I agree with that, Preston. I don't think it should be on that list.
Kathy, what year were you born?
She's born in 1999.
It's 1983.
1978.
Well, here you go. Halloween was the number one.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And Halloween reset. Can think of a time. So when Halloween came out, there'd been a few, but Halloween started the onslaught of Maniac with a Knife.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like a staple for us when it came, once I got a little bit older. But when Halloween came around, my mom would sit down and we would watch that movie.
Oh, really? She's into that?
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
Marissa, what year were you born?
Nick Murphy and I were both born in 1983.
All right, 83, the number one horror movie of that year. Interesting one, The Hunger.
The Hunger with
David Bowie.
Yeah, and Catherine Deneuve. Yeah.
Vampires?
Yes.
It's
Susan Sarandon as well.
That is correct, Susan Sarandon. And they play unsuspecting, a different type of vampire. And it's a little more real to life, I guess, than dramatic.
Yes, it's very, there's a lot of seduction involved.
Yes, there is.
And it's an artier film.
Yeah. I watched that movie in a class about gay and lesbian literature.
Yes.
In college.
Really?
And there are a lot of gay and lesbian subtle overtones in this movie.
She macks on Catherine Deneuve as this queen vampire, mm-hmm. and she seduces Susan Sarandon.
Correct.
Preston, I'm sorry to go back in time again, but on your list, is 1972 on your list?
Because I was going to go through our birthdays first and then explore the other years. So 72, yeah?
I wanted to bring up a movie because, Steve, I got home and it was punch drunk and jet lagged yesterday, and so my girlfriend and I sat down on the couch and we watched a horror movie that I don't know if is in your wheelhouse or not. It's quote-unquote a horror movie. It's called Frogs.
Yes.
Nick, it was the number one horror movie of 1972.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
It was... the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It was laughable. And Sam Elliott is in it. He plays the protagonist that's protecting this family. There's this cranky old grandpa.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It is so laughably bad. But right now, it's on Amazon Prime. So if you need a laugh as to what a horror movie was supposed to be in 1972, watch it.
That's a good call.
There are a number of movies like that. But if you want to see one that makes this seem like Schindler's List in film quality... there's one called Night of the Lepus, which is about giant rabbits.
Okay.
Giant, furry, nose twitching, ear wiggling rabbits.
Well, that'll go next on my list.
Night of the Lepus. And I think, if I remember correctly, who's there are a couple of actual full-blown celebrities in that one.
All right. This Frogs, apparently, Steve, was...
Here's Night of the Lepus. Okay, now watch.
Was supposed to be a response to Birds by Hitchcock.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Well, and there was, as Steve was saying, there was a series of those. There was Piranha was one.
Right.
There was one called Ticks, actually. Went out that long.
Food of the Gods with giant ants based on the H.G. Wells.
I remember
and giant,
the
giant insects. There was... there was a whole bunch of them. Yeah, Nature Gone Wild.
Yeah. So that was number one.
Frogs.
On Amazon Prime.
Do you remember the poster? Was it a frog with a guy's arm sticking out of his mouth?
Yes. But to backtrack the year before, and this must have been when those were all the rage, Steve, Willard was number one.
So Willard was a lunatic whose best friend was a rat, and he had a whole bunch of rats, and, you know, tear him up.
Yeah.
And he was, he would bid the rats forward to do his.
Yeah. Oh, the rats.
His name was Willard, and the lead rat was named Ben, and believe it or not, that's where the Michael Jackson
song is about a rat.
That song came from his pet rat, Ben.
Was there a remake of Willard?
There was a sequel too.
Okay,
but there was a more current remake, and I want to say Crispin Glover.
That's
was
what
in
I thought.
Yeah. So
there was a sequel to Willard. I think it was called Ben.
1973 was The Exorcist, obviously the all-time classic.
Good one.
Masterpiece.
Yeah, and in fact, Steve, you said there was speaking of petitions. There's a group that's trying to get the stairwell that's used in the end of the film. Made into a national historical landmark.
Yes.
Or at least location. They want to acknowledge it. And that's in D.C.?
It's in D.C. It's in Georgetown, right? And so when Father Karras, Father Karras. Yeah, Father
Damien?
Karras, yes, gets launched out of the window at the end. That's the steps he comes cascading down.
1974, if you're looking for some good scary movies, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was the number one movie at the box
office. Never seen it.
So Eli Roth.
Number one horror movie.
Eli Roth on, I believe it's on A&E, has a series, and I've been watching it, the installments. The last installment was Demons, and you talk about the impact of these movies, and he brings up, they do a whole segment, of course, on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because you had, again, Tobe Hooper, limited budget, borrowed a camera from a school, shot it in Texas. It was based on the Ed Gein story, and you know, the lunatic who would kill women and dress them as deer and wore the skin and did all that stuff. And so much of this movie is in broad daylight, which freaks people out.
Hey, by the way, Steve, see people texting in about the worst scary movie ever, or at least some honorable mentions. Zombie Beavers.
Zombie Beavers.
You ever heard of that?
Yes, I have. Yeah,
I've never heard of that.
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Zombie Beavers is a
nice
good one.
Beaver.
So 75 was Jaws, as we already covered. 1976 was Carrie.
By the way, I looked,
that was a great movie.
Looked at 1975, and there really weren't any good horror movies.
Okay.
Something called The Shivers or something like that.
Yeah. crap. Yeah.
Okay.
Carrie was another one that we watched every year.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Stephen King based, obviously.
Started his whole
yeah.
locomotion, his whole propelling forward. And this just dominated. People were freaking the F out when this movie came out.
One of the greatest scary endings ever. And that's enough said. I'm not going to tell you what happens. But Casey, yeah, perfected the art of the jump scare.
Yes. like nobody's business. Yep. And Piper Laurie, who plays the mom. Yeah, Piper Laurie. She was nominated for an Oscar.
She was terrifying.
She was great.
Yeah.
Sensational.
Yeah. 1977. Here's another one in contention, Steve. By the way, these are the most popular horror movies by the year you were born, so listen along. Eraserhead.
It's not a horror movie. No, it'll give you nightmares.
It will. It's effed up. Like you said, that is a nightmare personified on film.
That's really what it is. So yeah. If you want annoying sounds,
bad dream,
and unpleasant imagery for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, that's what it is.
David Lynch, his motivation for writing and making yes. that film was his time spent living in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah.
He lived in a fairly industrial area, which had the hum of machinery, I guess, yep. or just that drone of city sound. And it got him thinking in this weird direction. That's why in this movie, you just hear like...
yeah.
In the background almost all the time.
Really? I've never seen this one
Casey,
either.
Casey, you probably won't last long. Okay. It'll mess with your head.
I love his...
It's wild.
I love his capabilities. Yeah. And there's some brilliant stuff in it. But if you watch it once, and that's it. That's enough.
Yeah. All right. So that was 77. 78, Kathy's birthday was Halloween. 1979 was Alien, definitely a different take on a horror film.
Horror sci-fi.
Yeah.
So, and it's based on a movie. Well, it's very similar to a movie, which I love, which is from the 50s called It, the Terror from Beyond Space. It's basically the same story.
So that was the number one horror film in 1979. 1980, you hit The Shining. And obviously that was huge.
Yep.
And
he didn't like it, right?
Stephen King? No. Stephen King.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He didn't like it.
It took a different direction than the story.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's its own work of art. It's based on the story, but it became its own work of art through Kubrick, you know?
I watched Ready Player One on the plane yesterday on the way back. I enjoyed it's different from the book, of course, but the take on The Shining and the set
it's
production
great.
That they did in Ready Player One of the original sets from The Shining were really impressive. I don't know how they pulled that off.
Yeah, so that's not even in the book at all.
Right.
It's not even in Ready Player One yet. It's its own thing in this film. But... who is it we were talking to who we had in, Steve, that the trailer for that movie, it wasn't even... We were asking about what goes in the trailer versus what is actually... What from the film goes in the trailer. That scene of the blood coming out of the elevator. It's not the movie.
Sorry,
it is, but that's all the trailer was.
That's all it is with the heartbeat.
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And going, what is this going to be? Because I was in the theater for another movie, and I saw that trailer. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's funny because I don't consider The Shining terrifying. I consider it brilliant. I love it. I love the movie, and I'll watch it every time it's on. But it's not one that I feel like I get, you know, terrified in the way you will in some other movies.
1981, the top horror film was The Evil Dead.
I love, if you've never seen... The original Evil Dead. Now, that's a movie that I went to see because Stephen King happened to see it at some film festival he was at, and he described it as the most aggressive horror movie he had ever seen in his life. At that time, now things have surpassed it, but if you catch it, it might seem a little cheesy to people. Now, it seemed a little cheesy back then, but it was because it was done on a shoestring budget. Again, it has sort of a documentary feel to it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like before there was found footage, it had a sort of found footage feel to it.
Agree.
And it's great. It's so good.
There's a scene where you first realize that something wrong happened where they're going through the cards and you hear the voice.
Right.
It's like, oh my, it scared the hell out of me.
Well, yeah. So there's one girl's been attacked by the trees and they're staying in this cabin and they're going through this process where they're trying to guess, see if they can do telepathy.
Right.
And the two girls are playing, and the girl's looking out the window, and she starts saying, you know, square or ace of spades or whatever the
card is. Every card
is coming up, and then she turns around. Rah!
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. I'm scared just listening to it.
1982, the most popular horror film was Poltergeist. And that took the country over as well. That was everybody was fascinated.
To me, that is a fun horror movie. I wasn't scared at all, but I loved the doll, the clown doll, the ominous tree, all that stuff. It was great.
There were just so many parts. I've never watched it all the way through because I think fairly early on in the movie, the guy starts clawing his own face apart in the mirror.
Yes, yeah.
And I didn't like that. So I stopped watching it.
But they did it. They did a couple of simple things too, besides the effects lady and stuff, Steve, where she's in the kitchen and goes to the counter and then comes back and all the chairs are on top of the table.
Or they're sliding on the floor.
It was simple, but it was scary.
That stuff is awesome. Yeah.
1983, The Hunger, as we mentioned, that's Marissa's birthday. 1984 became the realm of Freddy Krueger. And that's when A Nightmare on Elm Street came out, and that was number one for 1984.
So wait, still the best.
When did Friday the 13th come out?
That came out before that.
Yeah, because you said Halloween was the first of them all to come out?
Halloween wasn't the first, it was the first to really pick up steam.
Yeah. Okay.
Friday the 13th was the same year as The Shining, so that's why Shining wins.
1980?
Correct, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember, Friday the 13th was the movie to watch, especially once once rentals started coming.
Yes,
out, you got to get that.
And if you talk about shock ending,
yeah, it was. Yes,
yeah, that's another
that
one.
Ranked up there with Carrie. I agree. 1985 was Fright Night. That's one I consider fun too.
Steve. I love it. Yeah. Roddy McDowell, and it was remade. It was done with Colin Ferguson, right?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell,
okay.
Colin Ferguson is a serial. It was a mass murder.
Number one horror film in 1986 was The Fly.
Oh yeah,
is that a horror movie? Though?
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, it is. It is. It's horror more sci-fi. It's more sci-fi.
Yeah.
I remember watching that whole movie and just getting to the end and still being like, really?
Well, David Cronenberg is known for movies that are like that end with you going, oh, man, and leave you feeling. He did a movie with Marilyn Chambers called Rabid.
I remember that.
And The Breed. And you never finish off a David Cronenberg movie going, they did it. They took care of it. It's over. It's always like, oh, man.
Marilyn Chambers in Rabid, she had a little monster in her armpit, right?
It was a little like a stinger.
Yeah.
And it's spreading the infection.
Yeah.
If you want to see a movie again that's similar, it's called The Breed, Preston. And it's like there's placental stuff and weird stuff. Like Videodrome is another horror movie that David Cronenberg did that's
okay.
Really weird.
Who did, do you remember a movie called Manitou?
Yes, with the guy has an Indian
on his back or something?
Out of his, basically growing out of him.
Yeah, that's weird.
Fun fact on The Fly, I believe it's the first time the tagline was used that for the first time ever was "Be afraid, be very afraid." That was the poster.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
The original one has less impressive effects, but it's still pretty good as well.
1987, the top horror film was The Lost Boys.
Oh my God! Wow. Again, a fun movie.
I liked it. Cool. I definitely liked them.
Michael.
Do you have that?
I do. Yeah.
We have the
the Michael supercut from Lost Boys.
Yeah, it was edited together all of the Michaels in the movie The Lost Boys, which the only thing I didn't like about it were the clothes. That was the only thing I didn't really, but it was very 1980s.
His name is Star.
Yeah.
He'll have the best looking vampires you'd ever seen. They called them MTV vampires.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
What was her name? Jamie Gertz.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, Star.
Love me some Star. Jamie Gertz. Yeah, her name is...
I'm a vampire.
Star.
I want to suck you.
Michael and the Frog Brothers, which was Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
Yes.
It was Corey Feldman and somebody else.
Some other guy that you don't know who he is.
Corey Haim was the main young male character in that film.
Yeah, the other frog was a guy named Jameson Newlander. I don't know him.
What was he in? We don't know. Other things you've never heard of before.
Oh, Lost Boys, The Thirst.
The Thirst.
The sequel from 2010. All
right.
Not quite as good.
Back up that IMDb real quick, Nick, because who was Jason Patrick was Michael.
Right.
Anyway, Michael. So.
Mikey.
Michael.
Mike.
Michael.
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 Mike.
Michael.
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 Michael,
Michael, Michael,
Michael.
Yeah.
not afraid of you anymore, David. But and the final line in the film,
yes,
was fantastic. Fantastic. And well, you know, the movie's old, but yeah, I'm not going to ruin it for you anyway. 1987. All right, 1988, the number one horror film of that year was Child's Play.
Chucky.
That was a great movie.
By the way, so, you know, talking about how that film was done before CGI, all those sets were up. Yeah, it was in a fire drill.
We have a flashing strobe in the studio, that's why.
So all those sets were built, Preston, like the way they do the Muppet movies, like up 5 feet high.
No, okay. Really?
Yeah, so yeah, that's how you could get, basically, Chucky was a Muppet.
Yeah.
Again, Ready Player One, I watched it on the plane as well, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
And there is, Chucky is brought into it as well,
yeah,
which is so great.
It is a great part of the movie. 1989 was Pet Sematary.
They're remaking it, by the way.
Are they really?
Yes.
Yeah.
So a trailer coming out, and I think it's John Lithgow in the...
Fred Gwynn
role.
So it was 1989. 1990. We get into the 90s. Flatliners.
There is a horror
element. Scary moments.
Yes, there's in the other realm, in the dream realm, and they bring something back with them.
Yeah.
That's basically mostly going after Kiefer Sutherland, right?
Yeah.
No, all of them.
Okay.
They're all chased by their fears.
Yeah.
But I think he's the most, because it was all his idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a while since they remade that, right?
They did, yes. Yeah.
And as much as Lost Boys was an homage to what 80s garb looked like, Flatliners was definitely early 90s. Like, that's what everybody
Billy
looked.
Billy Baldwin.
Yeah, and the long trench coat look, and yeah.
I like women, what can I say? The goofiest part of that is when they're, like, daring each other. Yeah, I'll do 40 seconds. Yeah. Oh, yeah? 45. And they just go, anyway.
Julia Roberts, Oliver Platt.
1991 was Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
I don't consider it a horror movie, but many do. So it was more suspense and...
Thriller.
And thriller, yeah, exactly.
It's a thriller. It's scary. Oh. Pleasure to meet you, Dr. Lecter. I'll be working closely with you.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
He's
Let me out. Let me out. What's your problem? Let me out of here.
They finally found the thing that broke Lecter.
Just found your great cellmate.
Yeah.
Dr. Lecter. Holy Jesus. We're going to become fast friends. Oh, my God. What are you?
He's pounding on the glass.
Let me out!
He's trying to get through that opening where they move, put the food.
Why, wait, what's wrong? I'm going to let my gloves dry out here on the end of the bed.
Anyway, you just want to play quid pro quo with him?
Nothing, nah. Yeah. I got a better game, Twister.
Oh, my God. Well, 1991, it was the number one horror film.
It's big Pictionary.
1993. All right, here you go again. 1993. But I guess it would all depend on what was out that year. Go ahead. You want to guess?
You're not going
to
say Jurassic Park, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. But it was Fire in the Sky.
Which is based on a supposedly true story about an alien abduction. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Wait, what was 92?
Did I skip 92?
I think so.
Turner and Hooch.
It's not on here. The Mystery Year, 1992.
They just skipped it?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It was a movie called Hannibal and Michael.
Oh,
let me out! What is that music? Oh, no. Oh, you lead a deranged life.
Well, Candyman.
Ate a census taker's living with some fava beans and Chianti. I once had a Boy Scout Jamboree party at my house the entire weekend. Holy Christ. And it tasted good.
Oh, my God.
I sauteed him with Jesus juice. I change diapers on my monkey every day.
Oh,
holy Christ. And I piss in bottles and even around the house. And my nose comes off. Get me out of here! I'm 40 years old and I have parties for 9-year-old boys. Holy Jesus! This can. Why? Let me out!
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's fun.
Can you do that list again? Because seriously, when you list it like that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh. I promise. I pinch the diaper on my monkey every day. I piss in bottles. I have an entire staircase. It's a tribute to Home Alone. I bounce Emmanuel Lewis up and down on my lap all throughout every award show.
Oh.
I drink Jesus juice. Oh. My nose comes off. Oh. I used to be black. And I made my kids wear Mardi Gras masks. And have a train, but a real one.
Lecter admits everything. He just
I will tell you right now how you can get in touch with Buffalo Bill. I have a dress.
I have the exact dress. Most longitude and latitude.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Hear me out.
Nice to meet you, Dr. Lecter. Oh, my God.
We're going to be good friends.
See, 92, though, had some decent ones in there. I mean, they had Candyman, which for me,
Candyman
that was terrifying.
Is a top-notch horror movie. Candyman is, if you've never seen it, it plays off the Bloody Mary. You know, where you say it into the mirror. You say Candyman five times into the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's excellent. Virginia Madsen's in it, and it takes place in Cabrini Green, the project in Chicago. Very cool.
A movie you love came out that year, Steve, and I thought it was great too. Is Hellraiser?
Hellraiser is awesome.
Hellraiser 3. Oh no, I'm sorry. Hellraiser 3. Sorry. Yep.
Hellraiser 1 and Hellraiser 2 are great, and then as with a lot of these, the first one's always the best.
But Steve, you love Dr. Giggles, and that came out in 92
Dr. Giggles
as well.
Is a lot of fun.
The number one, according to IMDb in 1992, was Sleepwalkers. I guess maybe that was by gross sales.
Yeah. That's a fun, weird movie. That's the cat people, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one that was out that year, but not necessarily a horror film, but certainly scary, Single White Female.
Yeah, that's a thriller.
That's a thriller.
It's a thriller.
They're going to be good friends.
Would you be interested in a movie called Single White Female or no?
Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No. Swarthy, Mediterranean-looking 9-year-old.
What about Lost Boys?
No, God, yeah. I'm on board.
Wait, there's a trick.
The more lost, the better.
In Lost Boys.
Michael. Oh, it's a wonderful movie. In fact, their boys are tied up by their feet hanging upside down like a wine cellar. I just go and pick what year.
Okay.
Daycare.
Okay, all right. So 93 was Fire in the Sky.
Let me blow the dust off this one.
94 was Interview with a Vampire.
Boo.
What?
I still haven't watched that.
I hate that movie.
I'm a big fan.
Horror movie, though?
I don't think so. Yeah. I wouldn't consider it. It is a... the director's from the director who did the Crying Game. He's Neil Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... If you take it in its large... It's an epic, almost. It starts, you know, with Brad Pitt, it starts...
Hundreds of years.
It spans hundreds of years. And actually, Tom Cruise is excellent. You know, there's a lot of questions about the casting and so on and so forth, as is Brad Pitt. But there are... It started, I think, this romanticism with vampires that's led to a lot of stuff that sucks. But it was great.
All right, we got a few more to get to before we got to bring it up.
Or
at least as far as this list
as
goes.
As far as it goes.
The top movies by year, Species, 1995.
Species is more sci-fi, but yeah. I'll take it.
1996 was Scream.
Okay.
Boy, did that take over. That dominated.
Yeah. Brought back the slasher film.
Yep. It also did and also made fun of it at the same time.
And then 97 was I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I think that's a crappy movie.
Yeah.
It's the Gorton's Fisherman Goes Crazy.
It wouldn't have happened without the success of Scream either.
Yeah. Correct. But it did give us Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Mm-hmm. Heaving.
Oh, so we're going to get into like Final Destination stuff too now.
I like the Final Destination movie.
Yeah. In 1998 was The Faculty.
That's fun.
Pretty wild movie.
That's Rodriguez. I'm having a brain fart on the name. He's a
Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
Manny Rodriguez.
No. No, but John Stewart's in it. What?
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Wait, what's that from?
That's Speedy's cousin.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I want to rock. 1999 gave us the Blair Witch Project, and there began the found footage I loved the Blair Witch Project.
I love found footage horror movies. I agree 100%, Preston. And also, you remember, it was the first movie or the first time I can remember a viral campaign taking hold.
And
yeah,
box office draw versus budget, it may still be the biggest take.
It probably, no, you know what is, what surpassed it? Paranormal Activity.
Okay, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Because of the low, but it was a low budget. It just destroyed. But leading up to it, that stuff, we were talking about it on air. We was, what's this site? Is this real?
Yeah, they had floated these websites out there about the history of the Blair Witch and the fact that this footage was found undisturbed, buried where only things that were hundreds of years old would have been. And it was a really odd campaign, and we were fascinated with it. And sure enough, it took off. And
this is the remake that they're showing the trailer here for. It was called Blair Witch. So this is the Blair Witch Project, yep. The original, and then Blair Witch, which was not that good.
That was in 1999. Then 2000, it says, in a more horror film, American Psycho.
Not really.
No, and I didn't see it.
But
it
a good a movie.
Horror movie, but it did have slasher elements in it.
To me, it's more like a dark comedy.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. In 2001, Bones.
Bones. You know that wasn't one?
It was a TV show with David Boreanaz.
Yes, that's it.
Wait, wasn't it the one where the guy keeps the girl in the basement?
It's got Snoop Dogg in it.
It says, when you have to choose one, you just can't pass up Bones, which features Snoop Dogg as a gangster who rises from the dead to seek revenge on who fools, on who did him wrong, or what fools did him wrong.
I'm not familiar.
All right, Casey, give me the wrap-up signal. 2002, 28 Days Later.
Great movie.
2003.
Danny Boyle.
2003, Wrong Turn. Eliza Dushku was in that.
Brutal, visceral. They get these backwoods, effed up people just butcher them and cannibalize them.
2004 was Saw, and that kicked off a franchise, obviously. And that was unique.
Yeah.
2005, The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I love it.
Great movie. 2006, number one was the remake of The Omen. I thought they did a good job with it.
They did a good job. Original's still better, but they did a good job.
2007 was Paranormal Activity. Of course, as you mentioned that.
Solid.
I'm not going to see it.
Yes.
That type of stuff scares the living crap out of me. 2008, The Strangers.
Yes, which is basically the people with the masks based on a sort of a semi-true story.
Yep.
And which then, is weird to say, a semi-true story.
2009, Jennifer's Body.
Which is it's Diablo Cody. It's it's sort of a comedy, horror.
2010 was more of a thriller than a horror movie, but Black Swan.
I don't think I didn't see that.
No.
I didn't see that. It has the chicks in it.
Okay, 2011, Steve, Human Centipede.
Home run.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
When you have the boys over.
All right.
Having the boys over for a Human Centipede party.
2012, The Cabin in the Woods.
That's damn good. Joss Whedon.
It was fun.
Top horror film. 2013, Mama.
Mama's excellent.
It's a freaky
By the way,
movie.
That director went on to direct It.
2014, The Babadook?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very good. Trust me.
2004, I'm ripping right through these. 2015 was The Visit.
The Visit's damn good. Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Shyamalan. I thought it...
It was great.
Brought him back, man. That's a great movie. I thought it was freaky fun. Okay, no.
What?
2016, Ghostbusters.
No,
it's not a horror film.
It's not a horror film.
Comedy film. That doesn't count at
all. Move along.
And then 2017, It was the number one as far as horror films.
That was fun.
We have to take a break. That was a good list.
It was fun.
Of the top horror.
We're going to be great friends.
Of the top horror films.
Help me!
And with that, we'll come back in just a second. And don't forget Secret Text Word. I'll tell you about that in a moment. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley.
Restrictions apply. See spot for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We have a secret text word today. We have your chance to win a pair of tickets. MMR presents Hailstorm, and in this moment, it's going to be the BB&T Pavilion indoors Saturday, November 17th. You know, they have shows throughout the year. They close it up, and you can be inside over there.
Do you know the only time I've been there for a show indoors was the Impractical Jokers?
I've done a couple, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
And it's great. You don't even know.
It is, yeah.
You can't tell. It was full-on winter when that was going on. It was near Christmas.
Yeah.
So we'll have a chance to win those tickets. Text word secret to 39333. A little while, we'll have somebody call and see if we can get that with the word, and also we'll do a random texter. By the way, thank you to Sprint for hosting a little Halloween get-together. We've had some people come by today, people that went by Sprint store locations around the area leading up to the Bates Motel appearances that we did, and they got registered. They won tickets to the Bates Motel, the country's best haunted hayride, and a sit-in this morning on the show, and our friends from Dunkin' Donuts supplying the food. This Halloween, get your day running on Dunkin'.
You guys having a good time?
You can stop by today and grab two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for $5. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. We're just going to move forward. So, Kath, you got to leave. Get out of here.
Yes, I'm just going to set up Marissa for the next traffic report.
Okay, she's going to stick
around. Oh, she's setting her up to fail.
And no. Stop it.
On the Cornerstogle Highway. Yeah. Next to the Peach and Conduit.
The Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, the Lincoln Tunnel. The Autobahn's looking backed up.
Any of you guys dressing up tonight for Halloween at all?
I have to. Probably. Jace told me I have to.
Oh, that's right.
What are you being for Halloween? Like in this cute little voice. And I was like, a skeleton?
Oh, boy. I'm going to be my favorite character from Steel Magnolias.
Truvy.
Are you guys doing it? I'll do something
last second and throw it on. I haven't made any plans. Just with the whole London thing.
I'll probably do my GIMP outfit.
Yeah, the mask and the zipper.
Hey, kids.
I think we have one of those here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I don't dress. I love seeing the kids, and so I'll have all the stuff lit up and my decorations up, it's just a blast. Mm-hmm. How late do you guys stay out? Roughly, handing out candy.
Roughly 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
I think.
Likewise. We went a little bit later.
It depends on the activity. And like I said, there's a lot of activity in our neighborhood, but I may be so tired that we might wrap it up earlier.
Sure. And it is going to be nice so you can actually sit outside with your bowl of candy. Yeah. And I won't get many trick or treaters. I would say we'll probably get less than 30.
Wow. Because last year, first year in Mount Airy, we did. Like about 130, 140.
That's a lot.
Are you dressing up?
I will. I don't know what yet. I got to go out. I've decided I'm going to dress up the yard a little bit. Maybe make a cool little LED walkway so people don't trip and stuff like that. So okay. I have a little bit of shopping that I need to do. And I am going to. I have a box of costumes that I can really choose from. So I can either grab something out of the box. I can do the ghillie suit thing again if I wanted to.
You have fun with the ghillie suit. The ghillie suit is that.
I can blend into the bushes.
They use in the military to blend in the bushes and tall grass, and you have fun scaring the crap out of people.
Snipers wear them. I mean, you look like a bush.
You do.
You look like a shrub. That's actually great. And if you're not going to take it, maybe I will. I haven't done anything like
really?
That.
Really? Okay, so I wasn't sure if you guys liked that or if you thought that was a dick move.
Well, we have two ghillie suits.
On Halloween? No, I think it's great.
Okay.
I think it's fun. You know me. I don't like being startled and stuff like that, but for Halloween, it can be kind of fun.
You know
now,
what?
You watch out for the little bitty kids.
I only do it to the kids that deserve it, right?
Okay. That deserve it.
No, it can also be a low rent swamp thing.
Yeah, you could with that, Marissa.
Casey, I went back and found your videos from last year and posted them up on PrestonSteve.com. I laughed out loud over and over and over. And that little girl was like, "Ew, Twizzlers."
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Speaking,
scared the crap out of her.
Speaking of you, Marissa, what? What?
I'm sorry. Just watched the video of the girls that I scared.
Oh, we have the video running.
And
sorry, I was looking the other way.
Their costumes are just like a YouTube shirt with a tutu. Like, I guess they were YouTube.
What are we talking about?
No, he asked you a question.
I know.
What are you dressing as?
Anyway, are you going to do anything? Because you have apartment life, which is totally different than the rest of us. Do you go out tonight, or do you hand out candy, or do you just hang out and not do anything tonight?
So they do hand out candy in my building. You can alert the kids and let them know that you're going to be handing out candy. I have also just, like, accidentally gone out to dinner. In Queen Village, we were mentioning earlier that that's one of the best places to go. It is. There are kids everywhere.
So what do the kids come to the door, they buzz in, then what, do you take the elevator down with the candy and give it to him?
you're telling
yeah
the
who is it? Trick or treat. I'll be right down.
Do many kids live in the apartment building?
There's a handful of them. Okay. But, you know, I'm so close to neighborhoods that I'm sure they'd rather walk around than actually walk through the building.
True.
But I'm actually taking my boyfriend's niece out trick or treating today.
Ah,
I got invited. I couldn't say
really?
No.
Hey, it's a great night to watch kids trip and fall down, Marissa. So
yes.
That's going to be perfect
God.
For you. You're going to love it tonight.
Yeah. Are you going to dress up?
I was saying I might go down and we've kept all of our costumes mm-hmm. over the years, and I've got just a whole wardrobe of stuff. So I may just go down and throw something on.
All right. I have this weird pet peeve, and it's it might sound a little sour grapesy, but I...
All right.
And maybe a little bit jealous. So let me just throw that out there now.
All right.
But I kind of can't stand it when buff guys put their buffness into their costume.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like I'm going to
like
be...
Like muscular Tesla.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm just going to go shirtless and put some green paint on my body and it'll be incredible.
Well, how's that any different than a sexy girl dressing sexy for Halloween?
Because I'm a heterosexual man.
Who does not want to see muscular man?
Oh. Listen, so, but if I had that kind of
hell yeah.
cut-upness, I'd
well,
use
Well, that's
it.
What I'm saying.
Totally.
What would you do, like a muscular Lincoln?
No, I don't think I'd do anything like that.
I would just keep riffing on great historical figures like muscular Henry Kissinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And just take the softest, doughiest people throughout history. I'm James K. Polk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Muscular Churchill.
Yeah.
Steve, I have a question.
You will never surrender.
Just occurred to me. Do you have the goose costume that you ordered?
Yes, I do.
Can I use that tonight?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Is it here?
No, it's not here.
Oh, all right.
What the hell is that for?
It's really cheesy.
I was talking to the geese for a little
while. Do you want a Rocketeer costume?
Sure.
I tried to have the Handmaid's Tale costume.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners gave you that, right?
I definitely got to wear those, yeah.
Yeah.
We have the good doctor on the line.
Oh!
This is his kind of night as well. Please welcome our good friend, Mr. Dr. Mike Sirigliano.
Mr. Yes. Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Mike.
Thank God you're all back safe and sound. I was worried like a mother hen.
Thank you, my man.
Make sure you guys are okay. Listen, in homage to my buddy Steve over there, you know, Steve, I've been so busy this morning. Did you talk about the monsters?
No, I have not, but they're going up as they always do. So Dr. Mike, my dear friend and all of our dear friends, has gifted me over the course of a couple years now with a whole bunch of audio animatronic guys like the Hannibal Lecter that we have here in the office. So I have them all set up and ready to go, and they're going to go up out on the front porch. I have a few. There's a butler that is a real hit with trick-or-treaters that I'm going to set up as well. Now, do you do likewise? Because you have about 25 of them.
Well, they're all in one consolidated room now, but
right.
Because I had to get my wife to be able to park in the garage after 17 years of marriage, I focused on that. But that's on the list, Steve, as you know. And I have a whole room where it's going to have lightning, and I have all my monsters. And
you need to know that, like, to show these things, and I have them down. There's a part of my I have a similar setup. So these are like Madame Tussauds level. They're 6 feet tall. My wife can't stand going into this one room in the basement, but it's set up as like a cave, and it's lit up, and it's the whole thing. And but you know what? I do find that sometimes kids will freak when they see these things, Mike.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's how realistic they are. In fact, you know, for my wife's birthday, we were going through pictures, and there's a picture of my daughter Amy when she was 4 looking up at this mummy, and the eyes move, and they glow green, and she moans, and my daughter just didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
She'll probably bring that up in therapy along with a lot of other things I've done.
But these are awesome. You don't see them anymore. They used to sell them all the time at Spencer's from a company called Jen. You remember, like, over years past, and you'd see him.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and that they have a new one out that's a Michael Myers for, but it's not as good as the one that they made years ago. But they're awesome.
Listen, the Texas Chainsaw Murder guy that
yes.
I got you.
Leatherface.
That Leatherface has gone. I mean, these are collectibles.
Yes.
I mean, they just. I hate. My wife hates when I say I don't make them anymore, but they don't, and they're just really too cool. And this is just a kind of cool time of year. And
are you going to be out trick or treating?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know. I, you know, every day in my office is Halloween. It's like a trick or treat, you know. But my daughter's going to be zombie cheerleader. There's like
there we go. Yes.
Yeah, and my son is going to be a cowboy.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay. Nice. All right. Well, yeah, take pictures because we want to see.
Yeah, I want him to look like Johnny Depp. You know, but anyway.
What dad doesn't want their son to look like Johnny Depp?
Nice.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to check in. I'm glad you're back.
Thanks.
Love you guys.
We love you too,
have a
Mike.
Safe Halloween, Mike.
You too, guys.
All right, love Dr. Mike Cirigliano.
Yeah, these things are, they're like collector's items now because after a while they stop making them. And there's some intricate movement, especially on the chainsaw, the Leatherface, the actual blades on the chainsaw the chain spins around.
So, yeah, and since the weather's going to be good, you don't have to worry about...
That's the only issue, yeah, because if the weather's good, you can put them out.
Yeah, so you're putting out those on the
I have two that are going to go out on the porch, and this is the one that I have, Preston, here.
Okay.
Then I have the one up in the window at the top floor of the house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. We're going to be a little bit on the minimum side of decorating this year. I didn't get a chance to get out and do it, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
No matter what. You know if you're going to dress up?
Well, ghillie suit.
Ghillie suit, that's right.
Maybe ghillie suit.
All right. And Nick?
I don't know.
You're going out with your son. You're taking him out trick-or-treating.
Yeah, but
if I can remember, I put this goose costume on because it was real crappy.
Maybe I'll swing. I do want to see your house, too, Steve. So maybe I'll swing by this afternoon on my way home.
Or you could go into our closet here.
There's a ton of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I'll raid something here.
All right.
Yeah. And by the way, people were calling out Nick because he was thinking about going dark at his house tonight. But I think being a good father trumps that.
Well, you got to take your kid trick-or-treating.
Child out trick-or-treating.
But you could, honestly, we talked about this earlier. If you could use to have your neighbors pass it out for you. You could put out the bowl and just hope it lasts past the first two kids.
I'll stop by both neighbors' houses that I know and let them know that we're not going to be there. And I do think that this year I'm going to step up my Christmas decorations because I'm going to slack on the Halloween decorations.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Those are still up from last year, though, right?
No, because I moved in last year.
Oh, okay.
He just put a skull head over Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. I never moved in. I mean, I never set him up last year.
By the way, the candy thing, I know we had an extensive discussion on that, but I did see this, the reason why you can't stop eating Halloween candy. There was a professor of nutrition at Simmons University that did a study that said it's the convergence of sugar, fat, and salt found in many candies that really revs up the hedonic eating system. In other words, you're eating for pleasure rather than physical need. And it might even go beyond the candy's ingredients. The doctor said we have these really complex neurologic systems where learning and memory and pleasure all come together. And that's why when you walk into the office and you see that Reese's peanut butter cup, your mouth literally starts watering.
So
you will automatically start salivating because you have this memory of pleasure. So that cycle sort of continues.
That makes complete sense for the same reason. None of these things provide or make you feel. You don't get filled up on a...
No.
A Reese's Pieces cup, or a Reese's Pieces, or a peanut butter cup, but it is purely for joy, and that's why you will keep going at it.
That's true. However, there have been times, especially with ice cream, where I will get filled from eating too much ice cream, and I feel awful afterwards. But the during portion of it is pretty fantastic.
Speaking of ice cream and desserts, I did not know that in England, pudding is just another word for dessert.
Yeah,
that
it can be. It can be interchanged. Yes.
So when you look at the menu and it says puddings,
I didn't know that.
It's not just a series of puddings. It's essentially dessert.
It's the treat at the end of the meal. You have your pudding. Yeah.
Did you have your pudding?
I did, but not until the last night because I thought all the other times that it was just pudding.
I don't want pudding.
I didn't want pudding.
Yeah. I was there at dinner when he had this, and he asked the server. He's like, what does pudding mean?
Yeah.
And had a lengthy discussion. And I mean, it went back and forth for quite a while. And you still weren't quite. And eventually, because she didn't know what our version of pudding was either. So he's trying to describe it's like this consistency and so on and so forth. And eventually I go, it's like chocolate mousse. And she's like, oh, okay. So no, it's not that. It was more like a brownie what you had, actually.
Yeah. So I actually,
toffee.
I literally had to pull up pictures on Google to go, okay. So
here,
is this what it would look like?
That's
and she said yes.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, well, let me show you what our pudding looks like. And then I showed her a picture of chocolate pudding.
Yeah.
So I kind of jipped myself out of a couple of desserts while I was over there.
I want pudding.
I want pudding.
Yes.
I don't care if it's toffee.
Oh, there could have been a crisis, but it was averted finally because you were able to communicate with people from another culture.
Yeah, but he had asked, he's like, you know, do you know what Jello pudding is? And she's like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Get the hell out.
Get out of here with your stupid cap.
But no, so the desire to eat all of this candy that you'll see coming in is essentially, it's just, yes, it's just for pleasure.
Well, of course it is.
Not necessarily.
That's why we like that candy.
And then.
That's why the best thing to do is at the end of tonight, put that candy in your car and drive it to work and put it on whatever common table you have.
I think it was last year.
Get rid of it.
I finally started just eventually after a month, you know, throwing it away.
Yeah.
And without the kids knowing about it.
Really?
And yeah, for real. And then because they...
There are starving children that could do with that diabetes.
Well, and if you say to them, guys, we've had this for a month, I'm throwing the candy away. No. But you throw it away, and they don't know about it. They don't even remember it ever existed in the first place. But you're right. Bring it to work is probably the better option, Steve.
That's what
put
I
it
do.
Out, and people will eventually eat it.
That's how I do with my old pharmaceuticals.
That's smart.
There's some on the kitchen table already. Did you guys see that? There's a little a Halloween dispensary.
No.
Yeah, it's got a, this is a trick. No, this is a treat, not a trick sign next to it, and it's a spider. With Halloween in it.
Did you see, by the way, quickly, did you see Joss?
I was going to say, there's a handful of people dressed up already. So Joss here from our station is dressed as Prince.
She looks great.
Purple Rain Prince.
Yeah.
Looks great. Chuck is dressed as a Flyers player. And he's got it's like a onesie. It's cute. And then Pancake used some of his sports memorabilia and whipped together a baseball uniform.
Right. Did anybody see Donnie Black yet?
No.
All right. So
He's from our sister station.
Donnie Black comes out of the elevator, and he's dressed like Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura, like the football player.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's dressed. So the door opens, and he looks at me. He goes, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of underpants. So he's got like and it's a Ray Finkel jersey, mustache.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
That's a great costume.
We'll see some good ones through the course of the day. I wonder if Pierre will have any sort of... regalia on to commemorate the
does he do costumes
some years but he does great music on this day. A lot of Halloween music and a lot of listener requests too, so make sure you tune in during the workforce blocks.
Here's what I'm going to charge him with doing, see if he'll take me up on this. I want him to come in as Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle.
Okay.
With why?
Crew cut. His hair?
Crew cut.
Okay.
And a marine outfit.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, I want to take a break. I'm going to give away some of these, Casey, if that's cool.
Yes.
We have a screening of the movie Overlord. IMAX Theater, UA King of Prussia.
I think this is going to be a big cult movie.
Wednesday, November 7th at 7:30. We'll take three callers, 215-263-WMMR. Doesn't hit theaters till Friday, November 9th.
Okay, let me ask you, and have you even given any thought to maybe perhaps this somehow it lives in the universe of Cloverfield? Because look at Overlord, Cloverfield. Do you think perhaps at all?
Cloverfield?
Because it's a J.J. Abrams thing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it probably has more. There's more of a correlation with other stories, like
like a World War II thing going
there's
on.
Been
there.
A whole, and if you look at all the Call of Duties have a zombie mode in it. So I think it ties into that.
It's not alien based, is it?
No. It's Nazis
experimentation.
You've seen it before, but this looks very cool.
Hey, this was like Wolfenstein?
Much like Wolfenstein.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is it a horror movie?
Yes. Well, it's a horror sci-fi, but it's there's a couple of great movies called Dead Snow. Okay. And it's those are zombie Nazis.
Okay. All right, well, let's get some people at the screening, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into the Bizarre Files. So stay with us. And also, we have a secret text word. And if you don't know anything about that, is this the Munsters?
Yeah.
I'll bring you up to speed on that whole thing. The text word, secret 39333. We'll be back in a moment.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1981, the year MMR turned 13. We saw a royal wedding, Charles and Diana, and the first space shuttle mission. But the most far-out historical momentous event of 1981...
Great.
day in the morning.
It's the year Pierre Robert landed right here in our great city and began his career on these very airwaves. At MMR, the DJs had new music from these bands: Genesis, Foreigner, Rush, Billy Squire, The Rolling Stones, AC/DC, The Police, The Cars, Journey, U2, and so many more from 1981. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Winter Airport Parking, Philadelphia's premier airport parking service. WinterAirportParking.net.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
All right, thank you very much, Marissa. By the way, Steve, Indian summer, according to Wikipedia, is just a period of unseasonably warm, dry weather that sometimes occurs in autumn in the northern hemisphere. So, applicable. Fall under this, but it is also known in other parts of the world as the Altweiber summer.
Yes, I think we're experiencing an Altweiber summer.
Also, that is translated to the old woman's summer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad. It's hot and sticky like an old woman. Sketty.
That's why they call that the Altweiber summer.
Yeah, like an old sticky woman.
Did I pronounce that correctly, Nick?
I think so, yeah.
Altweiber summer.
Yeah.
Old woman's summer in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Lithuania, and Hungary.
Germans love to just combine words. They'll take a whole bunch of words.
Yeah, they do.
Make them one, and then that's a brand new word.
Yeah. Also in Estonia, Finland, and also Slavic language countries like Czech Republic, Poland, Slovakia, Russia, Serbia, and Croatia, where it is also known as Old Woman's Summer. Interesting.
Hot, sweaty, yes. Smelly. Just like a very old woman.
It's less pleasant.
Yeah.
Sticky.
Smelly.
Like a 95-year-old woman.
Or to Weber summer.
I wonder what the old woman connection is. Why that would be a thing. Many of them are lovely.
Do you want me to read further?
Why not?
Wait a minute. In Sweden, there is a Brit summer out of Brigitta or Britta, having their name days around the time. In Gaelic Ireland, the phenomenon is called... It's Gaelic. I can't. There's no way I can pronounce it, but it translates to Little Autumn of the Geese.
So talk about Gaelic. Are we now? Today is the Feast of Samhain.
I guess so.
Right.
Yeah.
According to old the history of Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Halloween.
Yeah. I don't see any other information on this.
Oh, I'm looking at the name here. I see why you didn't want to say it.
Gaelic, and none of those letters translate. You can't read them phonetically because it's just all
work.
It's all over the damn place.
Just all you need to know is it's like hanging out with an old smelly woman.
That's all you need to know.
All you need to know. Yeah.
Pack a t-shirt because it's old smelly woman time here in County Glen.
All right. Well, we just call it Indian summer.
Here. Yeah.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File. Yeah!
Smelly. Brought to you by CF Logistics, LLC. CF Logistics, LLC is expanding its fleet, and they're looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. Apply today at CFLogisticsLLC.com. That is CFLogisticsLLC.com. Please... In Kansas City, Missouri, have recovered a large inflatable colon that was stolen from a local driveway earlier this month.
The driveway had a large inflatable colon?
Yeah.
Why?
Kansas City police announced on Monday that a tip led officers to the inflatable intestine prop at a vacant house. So far, there's no suspect in custody, but they say an investigation will continue. The 10-foot wide by 10-foot tall 150-pound colon. That's big.
That is a big-ass colon.
Was purchased in 2017 by the Colon Cancer Coalition.
There you go.
And stolen from a driveway in Brookside, Missouri on October 18th.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like, okay, now I got it.
Where it had been loaded to be transported and displayed at a breast cancer 5K 2 days later. What?
It's almost like a colon carport.
Looks like a tunnel that you go through. But yes, it does. It actually has polyps and things like that on the inside. It's used for...
like one might find in their own bunghole.
So it's used for demonstration and educational purposes. So they found it. Everybody's happy. Everybody's safe.
Yay!
For those who are afraid of spiders, it's a nightmare come true. A man in North Rhine-Westphalia found a nasty surprise in his mailbox when he opened it to discover a tarantula inside of it. Bernd Hallebeck is the guy's name. He discovered the spider on Saturday morning. He said, "I'm quite robust, but that shocked me.
I am quite robust."
The encounter with the eight-legged animal was so unexpected that Hallebeck almost picked it up with his mail. He said the idea of it now makes him shudder. He said, "I was never afraid of spiders, but I am now." He later learned that the spider can sting or bite its opponent when it feels attacked or irritated. Fortunately for Hallebeck, he did not come into contact with the insect.
Later, he had remembered he had joined the Tarantula of the Month Club.
He had no idea who put the spider in his mailbox and why they did it.
It was October's tarantula arriving.
He wanted to report it to the police, but because he had viewed it as an offense against the protection of species law and as an attempted bodily harm. However, Hallebeck claims that he was told by police that putting a spider in someone's mailbox is not a criminal offense.
It's not.
The police were unable to trace the case.
Putting a ferret in your wardrobe is.
Luckily, the fire brigade caught the spider. They put it in a cardboard box and they transported it to a nearby Hannon Zoo Center, which cares for animals, a special type of... It's a special type of spider.
Preston, is it legal to put a meerkat in a humidor?
No.
Okay.
Strangely enough, that's illegal. In Virginia... a man wanted in three jurisdictions was arrested Monday after striking 10 vehicles before climbing onto the roof of a Five Guys Burgers and Fries restaurant and hiding in an air conditioning unit.
Not to go off on a tangent here, but were you not surprised at how popular Five Guys is in London?
Yeah, in fact, I ate there.
Yeah.
We needed a quick meal, so stopped off Five Guys, got a burger. On Monday, shortly before 10 a.m., deputies responded to reports of multiple vehicle accidents. Deputies determined that the driver of a Ford pickup truck hauling a trailer holding another pickup truck crashed into vehicles, four of which were occupied when struck. Both of the pickup trucks later returned stolen, and four subjects were transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Well, after striking the vehicle, the subject, who was intoxicated, scaled a metal pipe alongside the building and climbed onto the roof of a Five Guys, where he was found hiding in an air conditioning unit.
Why don't you get loaded?
If the guy's intoxicated, I don't know how the hell he climbed a pole up on the side of the building.
Maybe he was. Maybe he had drunk strength.
The suspect, James Edward Bauman, was wanted out of three jurisdictions, and he was incarcerated and sent to the regional jail without bond and his outstanding warrants. The investigation is ongoing and additional charges are pending.
Now, there's a thing called beer muscles, right? But that is the illusion that you're stronger than you are.
Right.
Right.
You're never imbued with superhuman capabilities if you get drunk?
No.
Yeah. Two inmates tried to escape custody by bolting from a Washington State courtroom, and they found their way out. But the judge took matters into his own hands, and he made their run for freedom a short one. Courthouse video shows the two inmates being led from the courtroom, but instead of following orders to go back into the jail, the two men headed for the door. And that's when Judge R.W. Buzzard leaped into action.
Was he sitting on a mini bike?
I don't know. They said, I didn't know what to think by the time they hit the door. And I'm like, there's nobody between them and the street, so I wanted at least to find out where they were going. Well, both Cody Howard and Tanner Jacobson were still handcuffed when they took off, but it wasn't without a few hiccups. Howard did a face plant, lost a shoe, and then fell behind Jacobson, causing them both to fall three flights of stairs.
Wow, this is a proactive judge.
So these idiots couldn't make it out of there, but the tumble allowed Buzzard to make up ground. He said, "Once I got to the stairwell, I knew that I was going to be able to catch the one that was just in front of me because I immediately started gaining on him."
Super judge.
Jacobson made it out to the street, but the judge grabbed Howard at the emergency exit, and Jacobson was arrested a few blocks away. He definitely was a help to us getting them in custody, the chief of police said.
I am the law.
I said, this is not the first time, apparently, that Judge Buzzard has gotten involved in an incident, but I don't have any stories as to what those incidents were.
You boys have any plans to play rabbit?
The judge is back on the bench holding court as normal. So he helped him out, and we're going to wrap it up there. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Secret text word. We have a chance for you to win a prize. And if you've been playing along, you can call in now. I need a secret text number caller. And, Nick, you never get to pick. It's usually Kathy. Give me a number caller.
How about 22?
Yeah! Caller 22 at 215-263-WMMR.
Yeah!
You get tickets to see Hailstorm and In This Moment at BB&T Pavilion Indoors on Saturday, November 17th. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Also, grab a random text. We'll find out who that is when we return. We'll take a break on this Halloween morning with more. Stay with us. Come up.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We were looking for a number caller for the secret text word, and this morning it's caller number 22, and we are going to go to Art, who is on the line. Art, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. All right, Art, if you can tell me the secret text word, then we have... Hang on a second. Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay, if you can tell me the secret text word, we have a prize for you. What is it, sir?
The secret text word is maniac, and yeah. Right now I'm dancing like I've never danced before.
Yes! Well done, sir. Hang on just a second. We will get your information, and we are going to give you... some tickets to see Hailstorm.
Yeah, I know. I probably should have used some Hailstorm music. My bad.
Okay, so we're playing Incubus. I was a little confused.
It's got Maniac in the title. That's the only reason I did that.
But do we have Flashdance? Do we have Maniac for Flashdance? Here you go. Hailstorm. And In This Moment at the BB&T Pavilion Indoors. Saturday, November 17th, and tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. And we will also congratulate Laura Kress, who is from Croydon, Pennsylvania, and she gets the same thing. So once again, Hailstorm, and In This Moment, BB&T Pavilion Indoors, Saturday, November 17th. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. So we are going to go straight into the lesson question, correct? That's what we're doing now?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
Nick, you're going to have to give that to me because I didn't peek at the lesson questions.
Did I?
Yeah, they're here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm losing my mind all morning, so I didn't even know if I got them over to you or not.
All right, I got it. Who is the new person who is going to be interviewing Dr. Hannibal Lecter? 215-263-WMMR. Who will be interviewing Dr. Hannibal Lecter? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening, you ought to know this one. Call now. We're going to be doing the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. And you can fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Ronnie Ortiz Magro staying in the news, revealing that that huge shiner he's sporting was caused by girlfriend Jen Harley smashing him in the face with a phone. Harley has explained herself, admitting she completely misunderstood the concept of the iPhone. Al Roker getting the last laugh and is replacing Megyn Kelly in the 9 a.m. Today Show slot Kelly replaced him in last year. Mm. Roker says when he got the call, he literally pooped his pants, but more accurately, continued pooping his pants.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Kendall Jenner saying the greatest relationship advice she ever got came from Khloe Kardashian, who told her to never apologize for the men you love. Khloe says that's how she managed to land a mid-level NBA star who stroked out at a whorehouse, or an NBA player who can't stop gangbanging tub girls.
Dude.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let's see if we can get an answer to this. Who is the new FBI agent who is going to be interviewing Dr. Hannibal Lecter? I will go to Kevin, see if we know the answer. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Great, buddy. Who's going to be interviewing Dr. Lecter?
I'm not sure. I think it's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackson,
yeah.
Hang on a second, Kevin.
Bill's poison.
Yeah, this is from The Lost Boys.
You're lost.
Yes. Kevin is going to get, a pair of tickets. Oh, this is great. On show number 2 of True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Cranges McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloins, and is presented by The Preston and Steve Show. Brand new tour, Saturday, January 19th, and the second show is at 8 p.m. at the Met in Philadelphia on North Broad. And tickets go on sale this Friday. at 10 a.m. via themetphilly.com. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, I have some stories. We'll begin with Eddie Vedder and Incubus, who we were just playing, Casey.
Oh.
Eddie Vedder.
In honor of Hailstorm.
And Incubus will headline the what's being called the Innings Festival at Tempe Beach Park on March 2nd and 3rd, 2019. Incubus will play on March 2nd along with Sheryl Crow, Cake, Group Love, Blues Traveler, Dorothy, and others, and then Pearl Jam.
Well, that is an excellent bill right there.
Is going to close the show on the 3rd, preceded by Jimmy Eat World, Band of Horses, Liz Phair, Matt Carney, and more. So it's full Pearl Jam?
No, it's just Ed.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it says Pearl Jam here. I'm like, come on,
people, with this wrong news.
Yeah, it's Eddie Solo.
Fake news.
Okay. And let's see. There will also be special appearances by baseball legends Roger Clemens, Jake Peavy, Sean Casey, Huston Street, and Eric Burns. Is it Huston?
Houston.
Is it Houston? It's spelled wrong.
I know, yeah. Roger Clemens, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is he saying?
Are all the other guys current players or?
No, I just say that's. I'm surprised by that choice. I had no idea that he was connected at all to any things like this. But
okay.
Gerald Strawberry.
Yeah. Right. What's Doc good enough to?
Along with
I would see it that festival.
Along with curated food vendors, family activities, and more. The festival is tied to the start of Arizona's Cactus League spring training. For which fans travel from all over the country.
That makes more sense.
Okay, why?
Well, just because
I'm a big fan of baseball.
There are more teams now in Arizona than there are in Florida. There was this migration over the last 10, 15 years of spring training teams, locations, leaving Florida cities and moving to Arizona.
Is it because of rain?
I think so, yeah. That has a lot to do with it. And geographic proximity as well. So it's just easier for teams to be in the desert than it is to be in Florida. And so there are more MLB teams that have their spring training in Arizona now than do in Florida.
As a fun fact, we also have the highest concentration of earwigs.
Is that true?
So come on out, everybody.
I didn't know that was a selling point.
It's a selling point to some people.
Yeah, so, yeah. Tickets are on sale at inningfestival.com. 2-day general admission pass costs $130, while 1 day is $99. That's not bad. For 2 days to be able to go to that many
artists,
and all good bands.
In this day and age of concert ticket prices.
And did you say G Love? I saw his name up there as well.
No, I didn't say that.
I think he's on the second day with Eddie.
Band of Horses, Incubus. These are some solid bands here.
A VIP pass, which gets you access to a viewing platform and lounge, cost $380 for 2 days and $250 for one.
Gives you access to the Earwig Bar.
the Earwig Bar?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they have so many of them.
There are also pricier platinum VIP packages available along with layaway payment plans at all three levels. This is the first 2019 show announced for Eddie Vedder. The band Pearl Jam is reportedly recording its new album, expected to be released next year. The Revivalists have released an anti-gun violence song called Shoot You Down in partnership with Revolutions Per Minute. The proceeds from the track are going to the Everytown for Gun Safety Support Fund. The band was inspired to record the song by the shootings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Of course, it left 17 people dead. Frontman David Shaw said, Shoot You Down is a song that was written straight from the heart earlier this year. It's an anti-gun violence song meant to bring awareness to a very serious and increasing issue that we currently have in this country. We believe that music has the power to change minds and lives. This is our pledge to survivors and victims. We love you, and we are with you. Shoot You Down is available as a limited edition orange and yellow 7-inch vinyl single with the new track on side A and a fan favorite called You and I on side B. The orange color has been symbolic for the gun violence prevention movement since 15-year-old Hadia Pendleton's friends began to wear orange in honor after she was shot and killed in Chicago in 2013. Fans can purchase the vinyl exclusively at independent record stores around the country, with all sales directly going to the Everytown for Gun Safety Support Fund. And then finally, Nine Inch Nails duo Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross have signed on to score The Woman in the Window, an upcoming thriller starring Amy Adams, Gary Oldman, and Julianne Moore.
I like that.
The film is due out in October of next year. The pair have also revealed that they scored the forthcoming sci-fi film Bird Box, which stars Sandra Bullock and premieres on Netflix in December. They're really picking up steam with doing more in films and television. Reznor and Ross currently have a score in theaters for the Jonah Hill-directed movie Mid-90s and are also working on music for the upcoming HBO series Watchmen, based on the classic comic book of the same name.
Jeez, they're doing some cool stuff.
Yeah, speaking to Variety about Watchmen, Reznor explained, we reached out to Damon Lindelof, who's running this, and the HBO camp when I first heard about it, because I've been a fan of Damon since Lost, and I was completely blown away by The Leftovers. Also, a big fan of Watchmen, I appreciate the fearlessness that taking on that property and the IP would require. Nine Inch Nails is currently touring across North America in support of the latest EP, which is called Bad Witch, and the band is on a short break at the moment, but begins a three-night stand in New Orleans on November 23rd.
Mm. Well, just a note that the common earwig was introduced into North America in 1907 from Europe, but tends to be more common, Steve, in the southern and southwestern parts of the United States.
There you go.
So he was right.
What do you think I made it up?
Makes a lot of sense.
How long have I been doing music? I know my bugs.
In the earwigs, okay.
Yep.
Southwestern United States, that makes total sense. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the...
come on out.
In the music news for this morning.
Let's do this, Preston.
All right, then give me a music bed here, please, for your place. All right, so...
It's an earwig announcement?
It's not an earwig announcement. It's not an announcement at all.
Okay.
It's just more giveaways.
It's more an acknowledgement.
Instant Family, which we have a screening of. Tomorrow night, Casey's hosting it. He'll be there with writer-director Sean Anders. This will be at 7 p.m. in the city at the Landmark Ritz East. It's an old city, actually, and you'll need to be there by 6:30. So the Q&A happens after the movie. And if you stick around for that, and the only way you can get registered for this trip is to stick around after the Q&A, you could get a trip to Los Angeles for the premiere.
That's excellent.
November 11th. And
this is the guy, by the way, who did both Daddy's Home movies.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. And this is the first time that Mark Wahlberg is the lead. And he's done a lot of comedy and has proven he can do it. But this is the first time he is starring in a comedy project.
You have to be at least 21 years of age to be eligible to win. And that's airfare, hotel, tickets to the film premiere, and Paramount Pictures Studio Lot Tour. So 10 callers. We'll put you on the list, 215-263-WMMR.
The earwigs are active tonight.
We're going to take...
They come for your youngest child. Steal away into the darkness, their pincers clicking in harmony. You can't fight it. It's the only way to stay alive.
Is this a movie or...
Earwig.
Yeah.
From Eddie Vedder Productions.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Stone Temple Pilots. The Record Company. I've got this life to fix. Threw it all out in Shinedown. 'Cause it's about to get
heavy. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I want to thank Dunkin' Donuts anyway for bringing by the food this morning. We had some people stop in today in conjunction with Sprint stores in the location, a little get together, and they had won tickets at some of our appearances to Bates Motel, the country's best haunted hayride, and a sit-in on the morning show, and breakfast provided by Dunkin' Donuts. This is Halloween. Get your day running on Dunkin'. Stop by today and grab two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for $5. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. So thanks for that.
Their bagels, by the way, are very competitive. They're damn good. And you know, coming from New York and the legendary New York bagels, these are solid bagels.
They hit the spot, man.
Do not dismiss their bagels.
And what else was I going to mention? Yes, partly cloudy tomorrow. High 73. Even warmer. And then Friday, some thunderstorms are coming into the area, but we're still going to be high 72. We'll get back into the low, the high 50s after that.
We have our morning show cricket league is playing on Friday.
Yep. So we got to be ready.
We picked it up over in England.
With those, yes, we became quite well-versed in all things cricket.
Jack said once you hit them with the bat, they just splatter.
You were playing the wrong game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was...
I was using real crickets.
You were using real crickets.
Damn it.
But we tried. Anyway, so Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man, it's good to see you again.
Those are my headphones that you were adjusting. My headphones.
Yeah, they're not working.
Yeah, so you blew my ears out, and now they're off.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Nick's got to plug into that. So don't turn that
don't
up
touch
and down.
That knob anymore, because now I can't hear anything.
And and use those over there. Yeah, we had Nick was on the plane, and
So we had our own headphones that we took with us over to Europe to use for the broadcast. And so when you're watching the in-flight entertainment, if you have really good professional headphones, you should use them because they sound fantastic. But unfortunately, where you plug them in, it has an eighth-inch adapter, which is kind of small.
Yes.
And the guy next to Nick knocked it and snapped it off. Look at that. Snapped the adapter off.
Yeah.
So he has busted headphones, which sucks. So he's gotta use the guest studio headphones that we have. So that's why he's working on that. But anyway.
Welcome back, weary travelers.
Good to be back, man. I tell you, we were weary yesterday. You know, any day you take lengthy over, you know, 4 or 5 hour flights, you'd be a little wiped out. It was a long day yesterday, but happy to be back.
It's a direct shot though, London to Philly, right?
Yeah,
that's good.
Makes a
does
lot
make
easier.
A difference.
And coming east to west is easier, I think, with the time readjustment as opposed to west to east. So we got that going for us.
When I've gone there, I've taken the afternoon flight, which gets in here relatively, you know, reasonably early, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Time-wise, but you had said you were leaving at 7 a.m. there, which got you in here.
No, the flight was at 9:55, yes.
Yeah, the flight was at 10. We needed London to get to the airport early. But flying back, we arrived around 2 o'clock. We got in about a half hour earlier than we were scheduled to, which was wonderful.
And Winter Airport parking. Yeah, dear God, so wonderful.
I used them based on your recommendation, and it's just very cool.
Yeah. And it's a brilliant idea. I love to see that innovation. And now if you have, like I have the app on my phone, it makes it extraordinarily easy. It's a great option.
And if you want to option in to have your car detailed or get oil changed or have an inspection done, they do all that stuff while you're gone. You don't have to worry about it. So I got a detailed job while I was gone. Awesome. That's nice, cool. Clean car to come back to.
I don't have any oil in my car, but if I ever get some, I'll do that.
That's a good call.
It's good.
It replaces your 3,000-pound battery.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be good, too. This is marvelous. So it was a great broadcast, and it was such a cool thing to wrap it around the Eagles thing, and you know, to hear Philly people over there, and the first broadcast from the ship, and the second one from the hotel with actual folks stopping by.
Yeah,
really cool. It was great.
That's awesome. Thanks. We you know, you're sort of doing it, and you're like, we hope this sounds interesting because we were having a blast. But again, you know, we're there.
No, I thought it sounded great. And as I said to you Monday on the crossover, just hearing even a studio technician talk is fine. Just read something, you know. Read me something like The Rain in Spain Falls Mainly on the Plane. You know, anything.
Right.
And then when they said, now I think you've got to adjust that, Preston. Oh, God, that sounded great. You know, anything they say.
So, yeah, it was cool. We were actually, one time we were out for dinner and a woman who didn't have an English accent, because there are people from, you know, it's a melting pot. It's like New York. It's people from all over the world that have settled in and work and live in London. A woman had a very arch accent, one that I couldn't place, but she was commenting on how much she loved mine and Rochelle's accent. I was like, what accent? You know, we're so not used to hearing that.
You're the one that talks stupid.
Yeah, you talk funny.
Well, I have asked English people from time to time because the most imitated accent in the world, or at least in America, is the English accent. Everyone imitates an English accent, for better or for worse. So I've asked many an English man or woman, if they ever imitate American accents, and they go, y'all?
Yep.
Y'all gonna
usually
do that? Yeah, they'll go Southern usually.
Well, we had the two, the
they
YouTubers.
They won't say Wooder.
We had Joel and Leah on, who have a YouTuber. They are constantly compare and contrast Western, you know, the United States with England. And they actually did two pretty decent American accents.
Fairly generic American Midwest type accents, yeah.
So, Pierre, I was thinking about you and Preston and the radio station a lot the other day because I got to go to Abbey Road Studios and walk around and cross Abbey Road itself. And I was just thinking about the fact that MMR was playing that record when it was new. You know, it came out in 1967, and Sgt. Pepper's was around the same time. But it was not lost on me that our radio station has been a part of the Beatles' history just as much as the Beatles have been a part of MMR's history. And it was a cool experience for me. I actually got a little emotional while I was there, connection to the station, to you, to my parents. And it's just an amazing place. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to visit it, but it's unreal how cool it is.
Every time I've gone there, and I've been a fair amount of times now, I've not made it. Can you actually take a tour through?
The studio is still a working studio, so you can't go in there. But there's a store next door, and Preston alerted me to that fact. And the store has all sorts of memorabilia. There was sheet music on the wall
that George Martin had created of from yesterday. And it's the actual sheet music from yesterday when that was created 50 some years ago. And I bought an album cover, you know, of the Abbey Road walk of the four Beatles walking across Abbey Road. But you can really buy almost anything Beatles related. But so many people have, continue to work and record there.
Yeah.
So you can't get a tour of the studio itself while it's functioning as a studio. But you can walk around it and you can see the store next door. It's an amazing place.
Is there not a place where people put signatures or something? Because my friend John Langenstein, who works for a lot of different bands, he put my name in that area.
Nice.
There's a whole wall that's white, and I assume that they probably paint it every month or two because there are a lot of people who have written on it. But you can write whatever message you want on there. So a lot of people would write lyrics from the Beatles, but people would say hi to other Beatles fans from around the world. It's a cool place, and I think you would love it.
There's also a series of photographs from the I don't know who the photographer was who took the original shot of them walking across the crosswalk, but there are alternate versions of that photograph when they did different takes. What about this one? What about this one? What about this one? And it's really interesting to see the ones that didn't make the cut because we're so used to the final one.
Yeah.
There are images of the cover of Sergeant Pepper as well that they didn't use, but or even as they're setting up that area to take those photos. I love those kinds of behind the scenes things.
It's a busy road and there's traffic there all the time. So if you're going to take a photo, you have to do it pretty quickly, and there may be cars that are whizzing by you as you do so. But shortly after my girlfriend and I took our photos, a guy from Philly was walking across the street, took his shoes off, just like Paul does on the cover. So that
I did that too.
Did you?
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. It's a really neat place and just some incredible photos.
Well, and one last thing, when you look at the album cover, which again speaks to the magnificence of albums in terms of an art form or even a CD, when you spend some time as opposed to just downloading a song or even an album worth of songs, you see that artwork. And what you look at, if you have the vinyl, because it's a little larger, you look at Abbey Road and you can see people in the background going, what's that? What's going on there?
Yeah.
You know, and you can see clearly, like, I think there's an old guy going, well, what's going on?
Yeah.
What is this over here?
Pierre does this is all, and Preston, you can back this up too. All that legend about Paul McCartney, you know, that it was replaced with a duplicate. You remember that whole thing?
Right.
And then as they walk across the street here, Paul has no shoes on, and that's the rumor was that's how they buried.
Right, people, he also had a cigarette in his hand, and he's the only one walking out of step with him, and John is Jesus, and you have the preacher is Ringo, Paul is the corpse, and then the gravedigger is George following them up, if you do that. And then the VW bug there, its license plate is 28IF, which is how 28 if Paul had lived, he would have been 28 years old. There's a whole bunch of symbolism on that people... made up.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap.
They were just walking across the street and it was a cool photo.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot of stuff in there,
That actually was Minerva's grandfather, that Volkswagen right there.
From across the pond.
Yeah. So just so you know. Some of those, there's a picture of the Doors when they did the Morrison Hotel shoot, which was a legendary story in and of itself, where they saw the hotel and the photographer Henry Dilts said, we've got to do the shot there. And he ran in and asked the guy, beat up old seedy motel, can we use this? And he goes, no. And they stood outside and he's got the four Doors with him. And the guy... And he goes, what are we going to do? And the guy steps out of the room. He goes, quick, lads, in there.
Yeah.
And they shot the cover that way. And then they went around a corner, and there was this beat-up old bar. And I think the bar was called the Hard Rock Cafe. And before there was a Hard Rock Cafe. And there's pictures of the inside of the Morrison Hotel with the band drinking with all these older, retired, you know, VFW guys, it looks like, and working class folks. And they're going, who the hell let these hippies in? But those background shots where, you know, somebody of a rock stature just appears in the midst of something else always crack me up.
That's cool, man. Well, listen, we got people waiting for the letter, so why don't we do that? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
A as in always.
All right, we have an opportunity if you live large like Marissa with a hotel stay at the Westin Hotel in the city, dinner at Opa, and two tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert with the Philly Pops at the Kimmel Center Friday, November 9th. Storm's Crazy Kind of Love set features classic rock hits as well as songs like I've Got You Under My Skin, Somebody to Love, and Forever Young. Tickets are on sale now at phillypops.org. So we'll give that away on Friday. What's coming up on the show, man?
We've got Mark Knopfler tickets again at the Met, and it's important to plan ahead. It's August 17th, and it's going on sale Friday, so that makes a lot of sense, and we'll have a pair of tickets for that. And then hopefully you won't forget about it and lose them between now and August 17th, but that's when he's coming back. And our workforce blocks, as we always do on this particular date, will be all Halloween-oriented material. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Let me thank our sponsors, and we'll begin with the one we were just talking about. Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Preston and Steve Show also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Tomorrow on our program, our buddy Michael Barkan.
Yeah!
A long time since we've seen him, so he'll be popping in.
Always a lot of fun.
And I'm sure we'll have some post-Halloween things to talk about and more. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Yeah, I'm not sure what would make a Kit Kat glow in the dark, but I'm fairly certain that you shouldn't ingest it. But hey, kids, have at it. Happy Halloween.
Next message.
Darling, let's go down to Wembley and watch those barbaric Americans play football. Oh, yes. Let's. Welcome home. Hope you have a great time. Woo! Go Eagles, go Preston and Steve. Woo!
Next message.
It's Wednesday, my dudes.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.